Oneida Township team under new head coach Ron Litchfield, and it's taken on a bounce at the 15 by Diggins. He sidesteps left, moves to the right, and he's taken down and by a swarm of Panther players at the 25-yard line, and that's where the Silver Streaks will start on offense as we are glad to be back home, and the conference season is underway.
United Township out in their road whites, and I'm trying to think, these helmets, they've got that U kind of like the University of Miami. There was a time they had actually a UT on that helmet, but they've gone to this little bit different look. It's a sharp look, but let's hope that it's one that's chasing us down the field a lot tonight.
Silver Streaks with the triple I option and Diggins in motion. Fake handoff goes to the left side. It does go to the left side. Robert Jackson up the middle to the 30-yard line, a pickup of 5 on first down. Set the Silver Streaks offense. Andrew Steck, the 3-year starting quarterback, a 5'11", 180-pound senior. Jackson and Diggins in the backfield along with Andy Holloway, 2 seniors. Diggins is a sophomore. And the wideouts Nathan Mines and Jared Carl get the start. Mines splits out wide to the near side, the far side of the field. From the home side, the visitor side, is where Mines splits out. Diggins goes in motion again. Handoff goes up the middle again, and that's a first down for Robert Jackson as he's finally dragged down to the... to the far side. Steck finally taken down at where, Jim? The 38-yard line.
Yeah, a couple of real strong plays for Galesburg. Nice job by the line that we've run left and we've run right. Both times, Sam Simon on the stop for United Township. He had some help there from number 75, Trey Weeks. But the Silver Streaks look like they're out to run strong in this one early. And it'd be nice to jump on this United Township team and get them down a little bit and see how they react.
Holloway split to the left behind Steck, goes in motion, now cuts back. Handoff goes up the middle.
That'll be Steck
across the 40 to the 42-yard line as Steck picks up 3 more on first down. We're just underway here at the home game. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry, Brady. We looked at what United Township has done. That first week they beat Dixon. Dixon turned the ball over 7 times. And I get the feeling I asked, Coach Litchfield before the game, he's heard that Galesburg has fumbled 15 times. You go for the strip when you tackle? He said, well, sure, absolutely. If there's that opportunity, you want to try and create the turnover, so watch for that.
Back to pass on second down. Steck to the near side. Caught by Nathan Mines at the first down marker before he's taken down. And this will depend on the spot, but the Streaks will face either a third and very short. Well, they're going to move it back just a little bit on the spot. So he'll be about a half a yard short as the ball sits at the 48-yard line. Steck has been terrific passing the ball so far early in the season as the offensive line has given him good protection. And Steck has completed 77% of his passes, and he makes his first one here tonight.
And Mines has shown to be the possession guy, the guy you go to for some short yardage, some sideline passes. Sure-handed player, nice to have him out there on that right side.
Third and 1 for the Silver Streaks. Diggins in motion. Flags down, and the whistles blow the play dead just as the Streaks picked up the first down with a handoff across the left side to Jackson. It's going to be a false start, and it will go from 3rd and 1 back to 3rd and 6 now. Penalties haven't been too much of a problem for the Silver Streaks in the first 3 games of the season. Let's see how they respond to going from 3rd and short back to 3rd and 6.
Position on the sidelines tonight, Dr. Garnett down here. First game, Dr. Shire was out on the sidelines, our first home game, but this one, Dr. Garnett on the job. Let's hope he doesn't have to do anything tonight.
So back to 3rd and 6. Play goes in motion to the left side. Streaks get a push, and Steck's break free into UT territory. He's wide open down the near sideline. Touchdown, no flags. Galesburg leads 6-0.
Thing of beauty that time, Silver Streaks using all their weapons on offense. Diggins, Jackson, a pass play, and then a long run by the quarterback, Andrew Steck. And the Silver Streaks on the board early, just a few minutes gone in this first quarter. Let's hope that's the first of many trips to the end zone tonight for your Galesburg Silver Streaks.
Comes at the 9:14 mark. Steck's longest run of the season goes for 6, and Drew Carlson comes in for the extra point. Robert Jackson on the hold. Good snap, good hold. Heck of a kick. Did it get inside? It did. And the Streaks lead 7-0 with 9:14 to go in the first quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL supports our community one event at a time. Hey, it's Chaz Big from WGIL reminding you that Mexico Lindo Ballet Folklorico hosts a Mexican dinner on Saturday, October 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Carver Community Center. Enjoy delicious, authentic Mexican cuisine with dancers, piñatas, a silent auction, raffles, and more. Get all the details at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and invested in Galesburg.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate the Galesburg Christian School. This week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by Donna Robinson. Congratulations from WGIL.
9:14 to play in the first quarter. Galesburg with an early 7-0 lead makes a winner of Barbara Schultz of Galesburg in our Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. We drew Barbara's name out, and with the streaks scoring in this first quarter in which we drew her name, Barbara Schultz of Galesburg, congratulations on your $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. Barbara's name also entered in the final drawing for a party sub from Hungry Hobo at the end of the football season. So the streaks will go on defense now, and let's see what this rather challenging United Township offense can do if they can pick up the rolling kickoff, and they do, and tripped up just across the 30-yard line is where the return goes, and the Panthers take over with not bad field position. Galesburg got a five-play scoring drive, covered 75 yards, the last 57 of them by Andrew Steck, and they took just 2 minutes 39 seconds off the clock.
Interesting on the sidelines, that drive went so quickly, they had left the bag with the balls and the tees cleared out here on the 20-yard line, and Jay Barshinger was trying to huddle up the kickoff team, though he had a tee. So he was yelling for somebody to go to get a tee, and finally Andrew Steck ran over there and pulled one out of the bottom of the bag as they rushed out onto the field.
In the shotgun, the quarterback throws to the far side of the field, and Gilbert Venegas completes it, and it's into Silver Streak's territory across the 50-yard line before the receiver is finally taken down. That completion to Raymond Clay on first down, a passing play, and moving directly into Galesburg territory very quickly are the UT Panthers.
But a flag on the field, so that's why we have a delay. Let's see who's going to pick this one up. Good.
It's against the Panthers, and we'll move it back into UT territory. Starting quarterback Gilbert Venegas, a 5'6", 160-pound junior. In the backfield, John Simon, 5'6", 145-pound junior. And Andrew Greer, the fullback, at 5'9", 165. He is a senior, as is wideout Raymond Clay at 5'10", 165. Tavian Johnson, another wideout at 6'4", 185, a junior, and another junior, Brandon Cox, at tight end, 6', 170 pounds. Not a huge offensive line for the Panthers. A couple of players at 220, or rather 230 in the 210 and 220 to 225 range. So the Galesburg defense has been very aggressive, and we'll see how that plays out as this game goes along. So a 5-yard penalty on the Panthers on the first play of the game. It'll be now 1st and 15, back at the Panther 27. At the 9:01 mark, in the shotgun, Venegas rolls to the near side, and on the pitch play goes out to Andrew Greer, the fullback, and he's taken down just short of the 30-yard line for a gain of a couple on first down. It'll be 2nd and 13 upcoming.
And Tremaine Carson forced that play to develop quickly. He was into their backfield and forced the quarterback to kick that thing off in a hurry behind him. And that's one of the values Tremaine gives you. It's just such good athleticism, gives you 100% all the time. Didn't start last week, but did play quite a bit and is back in the starting lineup here tonight.
Defensively for the Silver Streaks, Tyler Innes starts at left end tonight as he gives Austin Finley a break, who will start strictly on the offensive line this evening. Otherwise, the same changes, and now a snap goes under the hands of Venegas, who rolls all the way back inside the 15-yard line, and there's Innes, who takes him down way back at the 15, as that snap really cost the Panthers a lot of yardage.
Yeah, Drew Carlson came up to finishing off the initial pursuit from Tyler Innes that time for the Silver Streaks, and there was nothing Venegas could do with that ball except try not to turn it over. A huge loss, and the Silver Streaks going to get this thing in pretty good field position as long as UT doesn't do something incredible here.
A loss of 14 on the play.
Is that right, 3rd and 35?
It is. Remember, they had the penalty on first down that took them back to 1st and 5. Or 1st and 15, rather. Now Venegas comes back up under center, and the Streaks are jumping at the defensive line. Toss into the backfield. Now a cutback through the middle of the field, and not much there as the Panthers get it back up to the 20-yard line. Davey Jefferson on the toss and run. He picks up 5, and it'll be 4th. Well, we'll call it 4th and 24 or so.
All right, Tyler Innocent on the tackle as well as Kevin Hurd. A little sandwich job that time, and the Streaks going to get it back in nice shape. Looks like Jackson going back, the only man back to field the punt.
And the wind behind the kicker, and it's taken on a bounce. And Tavian Johnson gets it into the air. It bounces at the 50 and takes a UT roll all the way down to the Galesburg 25.
Unbelievable.
That thing hit like it was on concrete when it hit the 50, and it skipped 15 yards in about a half a second and then rolled another 10 after that.
Well, and I don't know, I guess I'll have to ask the Galesburg coaching staff, in those situations, have you told Robert Jackson just to stay away from the ball and just let it hit? Or if it's up to him, that was really a bad decision because there really wasn't a defender too close. And you can see the way that ball was rolling end over end. That's one you really want to catch. That would have saved us about 20, 25 yards.
Streaks spread the offense on this one. Handoff goes up the middle. Jackson gets down low and a double tackle at the 25-yard line. Robert ran hard, but he picked up maybe just a yard on that one. We're just underway. 6.5 minutes to play in the first quarter. Galesburg scored on its first possession, a 57-yard touchdown run by Andrew Steck. Panthers failed to convert a first down, punted it after three plays. And now in motion, two players in motion, and that'll send flags a flying all over the place as the Streaks get called for a false start, their second penalty of the night, and it'll go to 2nd and 14 now.
Yeah, it wasn't so much Andy Holloway who was going in motion behind Steck, but when Robert Jackson started moving forward, not only did you have two men in motion, but one of them was going forward before the snap, and that's a no-no. So Streaks are quickly back up to the line.
Wasting no time, trying to keep the Panther defense on its heels. Same formation, Steck in the shotgun, back to pass on a draw play, and that one goes nowhere as he can't scramble back even to the 20-yard line. And they'll lose a couple more, and it'll be 3rd and about 17 coming up here.
The Panthers
sniffed that one out well.
Yeah, we had a nice passing game last week. Steck had some time to throw, but no chance for a receiver to run around that time because Andrew took a step to his right and had no opportunity to look downfield at all.
Checks his wrist for the play call. Steps up, Holloway in motion, 4 wideouts to the near side. Steck rolling toward the defensive side of the field. Lost it downfield. Trayvon Diggins is open. It's caught, and he's down at the UT 40-yard line, but there is a flag down in the backfield.
Probably in the area of holding.
That's what I'm guessing.
Right there near where Steck threw the ball. So a heck of a throw. Nice job and good concentration by Diggins on the catch.
Illegal block in the back against the Silver Streaks. So it negates the pass play and the big first down gain. The Streaks needed to get to their own 35 after the pass play to a wide open Diggins. It was at the UT 40, but instead this one will come way back. And the 3rd penalty against the Silver Streaks, 2nd time they've picked up one of those penalties on 3rd down. Last time they went from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 6. This time they'll go from 3rd and 17 all the way back to 3rd and 27 at their own 9-yard line.
Not only was Andrew Steck very accurate, but that was impressive. He threw that into the wind, Brad. That was a strong arm throw there.
So it negates the first down, and same formation for the Silver Streaks. Trips to the near side. Fake pass, or fake handoff. Pass goes to the far side, Jared Carl, and he's taken down at the ankles just across the 15-yard line. So they gained 7 on the play, but they needed a lot more than that, and the Streaks will have to punt into the wind now with 5:07 and counting in the first quarter.
Well, so really a couple of mistakes away from being threatening again. Again, to give United Township all that extra yardage on the roll on the punt, I thought was a bad choice, and then, of course, the illegal block cost us the long pass play and the first down, so we've made our own bad situation here with a kick from near the goal line.
Steck at the 5-yard line, boots it away. Clay started to run up to it, and now Diggins downs it at the Galesburg 40-yard line, so he nets 35 out of it. But Clay was standing at midfield, and that kick wasn't anywhere near him, and the Streaks just had to down it before it turned the other direction and put them in even worse defensive field position. At 4:38 of the first quarter, the Panthers take over in great field position.
Well, they'll have to come up with some new wrinkles in what they threw at us the first offensive series, though, because the Silver Streaks stuffed everything they were trying to do. And Gelsberg with some superior quickness and speed up there on the defensive front and out of the linebacker positions could make things awful tough tonight for UT.
In the shotgun, man in motion to the near side, Raymond Clay. Low snap, handoff goes to the right side, Andrew Greer. And he tries to get across left tackle. Kevin Hurd takes him down quickly, just across the 40 to about the 39. Greer picks up one on first down.
Yeah, you think about it, the Silver Streaks really do have a nice mixture of size and speed. You know, putting Ricketts up there, interior on the defense, and Hurd in there as well. They're your size and strength guys. You can bring in Finley and some others there, too, to spell them, but then you fill in with Spinks, who can play the line or the linebacker spot, and Carlson, and Carson so aggressive.
Venegas in the shotgun, rolling right under pressure, gets the pass away, and it's caught by Raymond Clay, still on his feet. Now the Streaks take him down at the 35. Venegas did a heck of a job to get that one away as quickly as he did, and to find Clay open in the flat on the Gelsberg side of the field, a gain of four, it'll be third and five.
And a gain of just four because Jared Carl was such a good tackler that time. He wrapped him up and was not going to let him go anywhere else. Jared's become a real nice football player for Gelsberg on both sides of the ball.
Panthers have faced third down once tonight, have yet to pick up a first down. They have third and five here from the Gelsberg 35. Rolling to the near side, Venegas. He'll keep it across the 35, hit at the line of scrimmage, and a little burst forward across the 30 to the 29, and he gives up the football, and the Streaks recover. Drew Carlson comes up with it. The ball popped out right as the play was coming to an end, and it came out before his knee went down, and Carlson falls on it right on the spot, and the Streaks recover.
It was interesting on the streak sideline, Brad. None of us had any idea. I'm glad I was listening to you because you couldn't see that ball come out over here. There wasn't much of a cheer from the fans. Even the Streaks players on the sidelines had no idea it was a fumble until, probably a good 5 or 6 seconds after it happened. So what a break.
Huge break for the Silver Streaks, who take over with 3:18 to go now in the first quarter, leading 7-0 and back on offense at their own 29. In motion, Diggins to the far side. The play goes left. The handoff goes left. And it stops almost instantly. Gain of maybe a yard on first down. As Jackson comes up off the bottom of the pile.
Got to think Drew Carlson had something to do with that fumble, because he was the one that came from the side and hit the ball carrier. Looked like there was going to be first down yardage there. And then he quickly came up on the side and popped him. And then I don't know if there was somebody stripped him on the way down or what happened, but most of that credit for the tackle, at least, went to Carlson.
Only the third carry of the night for Robert Jackson, who's been held in check so far. In motion, Diggins. Panthers creep up to the line. Toss goes to Diggins, catches it, gets an opening, gets toward first down territory, scrambles into the secondary, stops short of the 50-yard line. A heck of a run by Trayvon Diggins as the pitch was a little bit high, but he wrapped it up and brought it down to the midsection quickly and takes it up to the Gelsberg 47 for a gain of 16.
Wish you could have been where I was at, Brad, to watch that one. Trayvon Diggins, you can't teach what he just did. I mean, his ability to see and to cut and to juke, that was sweet. And you give him a little open field, and he's going to be a handful the rest of his Silver Streaks career.
And he got a great block that allowed it to free him up in the backfield and make that big burst forward. New set of downs for the Silver Streaks at their own 47. Just short of midfield, Andy Holloway in motion. Back to pass. Steck now under pressure, and he's sacked back at the 40-yard line. Under all kinds of pressure from two UT Panthers who came after him, Trey Weeks and Sam Simon, and the Streaks lose big yardage on first down. It'll be second and 18 coming up.
Yeah, both of those guys, you know, we called it on the first series of downs. They made the first tackle or two on the running plays. 75-78, they're giving us some problems in there. We've got to shut them down if we're going to get much more yardage tonight, passing or running.
Steck hasn't faced this kind of pressure throughout the first three games of the season. So the offensive line will have to pick it up here. As Steck comes back under center, Mines to the near side. Fake handoff right, goes to Diggins left in the backfield. Breaks free of a tackle in the backfield. Now he's close to the first down into UT territory at the 45 and scrambles forward for another yard at the end of the play. And he's just short of the first down on a heck of a run again by the sophomore Diggins.
heck of a run describes that well, because Diggins, not only was the run good, but he got hit about 3 yards from where the ball is now, and he got hit by Mitch Beck, a senior 6 foot, probably about 220, 230 pounder, comes over, and Beck was doing everything he could to wrestle Diggins down, but Trayvon able to force his way almost to the sticks.
A gain of 17. Streaks have third and less than a yard on the keeper. Steck on the quarterback push straight up the line. Good job by the offensive line as Galesburg gets the first down to the UT 40. He needed about a half a yard, and he got four. Credit the offensive line, which did its job there, and the Streaks convert on third down at the Panther 40-yard line. A minute to play in the first quarter. Streaks leading 7-0 and trying to push closer into scoring territory here. New set of downs from the Panther 40-yard line. Steck barks out the call, brings his team set, back to pass, looks right. Now starting to scramble to the right side. Steps past a tackle inside the 40. Brought down from behind inside the 35, close to the first down marker at the 30. Steck just sort of felt his way across the right side as he looked to the near side of the field, the near side of the press box. Nothing was open, so he immediately brought the ball into his midsection and ran with it for a gain of 9.
And did a nice job of what we always talk about, ball security at the end of that. He could kind of feel like that was the end of the run. He didn't try and do too much with it, and try and lay the ball out there and maybe get it knocked away. So he wrapped it up with both arms tight as he went down and settled for the gain of 9 now in 2nd and 1.
And that'll be the end of the first quarter with the Streaks leading 7-0. 1 quarter gone in the Western Big Six Conference opener. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
7-0 Silver Streaks in the conference opener between Galesburg and the United Township Panthers. The only score of the game so far, an Andrew Steck 57-yard touchdown run on the opening drive for the Silver Streaks. United Township Panthers have had the ball twice, have yet to convert a first down. The Streaks defense doing its job in the early going with a 7-0 lead. Galesburg facing 2nd and 1, coming out of the quarter break from the Panther 31-yard line. Felicia Mangieri, our second quarter name in the Hungry Hobo touchdown contest. If the Streaks score, either on this drive or just in this quarter period, Felicia Mangieri of Galesburg wins a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. Good luck. We've already had one winner tonight, Barbara Schultz of Galesburg. Streaks want to make another winner of it on this drive, if possible. 2nd and 1 upcoming from the Panther 31-yard line. Jared Carl, wide left. Nathan Mines, wide right. Same setbacks in the backfield. Jackson, Diggins, and back to pass Steck. Looks left, now scrambles right on the bootleg. Throws it to the far side of the field. It's caught by Diggins in first down territory. And a big hit across the 25-yard line at the 22, but he holds on to the ball and the Streaks move the chains.
Well, some big hitting over on this sideline. Diggins got popped pretty good by Tyler Cox, senior linebacker coming over, but hangs on. And a well-devised play for the Streaks. They fake like they were going to go left with the pass, and then Steck rolled around to the near side, to the home side, bought himself a little more time, found Diggins, and Trayvon has been quite a weapon here in this first half.
Steck 3-for-3 passing in this first down. He's found Nathan Mines, Jared Carl, and now Trayvon Diggins for a total of 22 yards through the air. First down for the Streaks from the UT 22-yard line. Hand off straight up the middle. And Jackson breaks through into the secondary, still on his feet as he's finally brought down close to the 10-yard line. Jackson kept the legs pumping, slipped through a couple of tackles, and found his way into first down territory at the Panther 10.
Well, the nose of the ball going to be right on the 10, so it's first and goal, but
yep. You
got to go the full distance to get it. Although the last two plays, we've picked up over 10 yards apiece, so let's just do it again and get a 2-touchdown lead here.
That one went for 12, Jackson's biggest run of the night. He's up to 20 yards rushing on 4 carries. First and goal for the Streaks. This will be the ninth play of the drive. As we're just underway in the second quarter, Streaks up by a touchdown, looking for more here inside the red zone. Diggins in motion. Fake handoff. Steck with the keeper. Moves to the right. Finds an opening up the middle. And he's in for the touchdown. Andrew Steck looked like he was covered with grease as he weaved his way through small openings up the middle of the field. I don't know how he slipped some of those tackles, but the hands just went right off him, and he scores for the second time tonight.
You don't draw that one up, and I mean, it actually looked like Steck just kind of explored his way to the end zone that time. He really did, and nobody knocked him down.
Carlson's extra point is wide left. The Streaks lead 13-0 with 10:50 to go before halftime. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Terry Cavanaugh here from WGIL, inviting you to join me on Monday for Galesburg Live when we visit with the group Pheasants Forever. On Tuesday, we'll talk about the annual Alzheimer's Walk coming up on September 25th. And on Wednesday, guests from Prairie Players Civic Theater will be here to talk about their upcoming comedy, Moon Over Buffalo. That's coming up on Galesburg Live.
It's Galesburg Live with Terry Cavanaugh, weekday mornings at 9:15 on WGIL. Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
A nine-play scoring drive for the Galesburg Silver Streaks covers 71 yards, takes 4 minutes 28 seconds off the clock. Andrew Steck with his second touchdown run of the night from 10 yards out. And it's 13-0 Silver Streaks with 10:50 to go in the first half. Makes a winner of Felicia Mangieri of Galesburg in our Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. She wins a $10 gift certificate to Hungry Hobo on North Henderson Street. Hand are on the kickoff, taken off the ground and straight up the middle, and that one could have gone all the way, but finally Drew Carlson, the last man for Raymond Clay to beat, gets a hold of him at the midsection at the 50-yard line.
Well, Exhibit A, why we are kicking the ball on the ground.
Exactly.
Because the guy has done some damage already this year. Unfortunately, that ball was kicked so hard in the top spin roll. I mean, it got down there quicker than if you kick the thing in the air.
That's the second time we've seen the ball hit like that and just take off on the ground.
Fortunately, our kicker also is a linebacker. Otherwise, that's a touchdown. What a great tackle to save 6 points there by Drew Carlson.
We'll actually spot it inside UT territory, just short of midfield. Now pressure in the backfield and a heck of a job by Jared Carl to wrap him up in the backfield as he just rolled on top of Devin Miller and brought him down for a loss of 4.
Well, any thought the runner might have had of getting away from Carl, which probably wasn't going to happen, as soon as he looked up and saw number 50 blow in there too, Spinks, and then heard it was all over. Curtains for the UT offense that time, and let's hope the Galesburg defense keeps playing this inspired ball.
So, second and 14 upcoming. As the Panthers backtrack to their 45-yard line now. Best field position they've had all night. 10 minutes to go first half. In the shotgun, Venegas. Looking left. Throws left and throws to nobody. The closest people there were actually Silver Streaks, both Innes and Chaz Benton. The intended receiver was Tavian Johnson, and he overthrew him by 5 yards. Third down coming up.
Yeah, it looked like Johnson was just running a slant that time, and he's 6'4". He's a big target, but he's not that big, as that ball was way out ahead of him and not even a chance to jump at that one. So I'm not sure whether the quarterback thought somebody else was going to be there or just misinterpreted Johnson's speed off the line of scrimmage, but that wasn't close.
First incomplete pass of the night for either team. Stops the clock at 9:58 of the second quarter. Johnson now splits wide to the left, along with his fellow receiver, Devin Miller. Man in motion behind is Raymond Clay. And a flag flies as the pass goes on the swing pass to Clay. Complete, and he spins off a tackle in Galesburg territory at the 45-yard line, short of the first down. And I have a feeling this one might be going against the Panthers anyway. And if it is, it'll be interesting to see what the Streaks decide, because he did not make the first down. And it would bring up fourth down if they decline the penalty.
I think I'd take it.
I think I would, too.
Go ahead and back them up. Normally, your defense, especially the way we've been playing, is strong enough to,
yes,
from a field position standpoint, go ahead and give them one more crack at it.
Yeah, I would rather have them punting. All right, so if they decline the penalty, it's in Galesburg territory at the 45. If they accept the penalty, it moves them back into UT territory back to the 40. And if the Streaks defense, which has been effective so far in this game, can get the stop, which as a coach, you're putting all your confidence on the defense,
sure,
then you've got UT kicking into the wind. So that's the strategy here.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if you're going against Peyton Manning or something like that, you never want to give them another down. But I don't think the UT Panthers quite fall into that category, so let's take our chance.
Handoff goes up the middle, and the Streaks sniff it out well. And he doesn't even get back to the 45 after the five-yard penalty, so clearly the right call, as the Panthers couldn't make much happen. Pretty conservative play call there, actually, I thought.
Yeah, it really was. I'm kind of surprised. Jacob Ryden for the Silver Streaks coming up from the backside with an aggressive tackle. Ball carrier is always looking ahead, trying to see who's going to encounter there, but doesn't expect somebody to just cream him from the backside, but that's exactly what happened there. Ryden just caught up and bulldogging down.
So the Streaks anticipate decent field position here as the punt goes into the wind. It goes up high. And not a bad kick as it finds its way through the wind, and Andy Holloway with a fair catch at the Galesburg 29-yard line with 8:13 to go. In this first half, Silver Streaks leading 13-0, and the Panthers still without a first down tonight. The only time they actually did convert the first down, they fumbled and turned it over. And that allowed the Streaks to go back on offense, and they turned that one into a scoring drive. So Galesburg takes over now, its own 29 with 8:13 to play in the first half.
Like the play from Andy Holloway to get the fair catch right there after seeing what happened to the last punt, the way it rolled. He didn't want that to happen again, so a good sure-handed reception that time and gives us decent field position.
Holloway now goes in motion. Handoff goes to the right side, Steck with the keeper, and he's dragged. He's held by the jersey. He's still on his feet, still dragged out of the jersey, and he gets into first down territory across the 40 to the Galesburg 41-yard line. That jersey is about 4 inches longer than it was at the start of the night. After he got stretched out from behind, it slowed him down, but he still found his way to first down territory.
Andrew's always determined, and you know, I think most of the guys around the conference know that you can't arm tackle the Galesburg quarterback, and that's what UT tried to do there on several occasions, and he made him pay.
Moves the ball to the Galesburg 42. With a 2-touchdown lead, and 7:40 to go in the first quarter. Will the Streaks keep it on the ground, try to chew up some clock, keep that UT defense on the field for a while? Steck on the keeper, he's going to lose yardage now. So half of what he gained on the last play is coming, well, all right, maybe a quarter of it. He'll lose 3 on first down as the offensive line collapsed on that one, and there were white jerseys in the backfield quickly.
Yeah, led by Marcus Murphy. He's just a sophomore making the tackle that time for the Panthers, and we did chew up a little clock, but we sure didn't chew up any ground that time as UT blew that one up inside. So we've got a 2nd and 13.
2nd and 13. They lost 3. 7 minutes to play, first half. Streaks lead 13-0. Fake handoff goes to Chaz Benton on the misdirection. He bursts up the middle for some running room into first down territory at the UT 43. Huge hole across the middle of the field, and the misdirection fooled the UT defense enough to allow Benton to easily pick up the first down in his first carry of the night.
Andrew Greer caught up with Benton from behind, but only because Chaz had to kind of stop and try and get his way around one of the corners that had come up. But Benton with good speed. We saw that obviously last week as he ran underneath that long touchdown pass from Steck up at Ridgewood. And so an excellent play call by the Silver Streaks really caught the Panthers off guard.
He gains 18 after the loss of 3 on first down. Now it's a new set of downs for the Streaks at the Panther 43. Handoff goes up the middle. Nope, Steck on the keeper, rolls to the outside. He'll pick up a yard as the Panthers did a nice job of containing him and bringing him down for little gain. With 6:18 to go in the first half, Benton is in where Holloway is normally stationed in the backfield on this series so far.
From what I've seen down here so far in this first half, I think when the season ends, you're going to see 75 Trey Weeks of United Township on the Western Big Six All-Conference team. He's been a tough one to handle tonight. Reminds me a lot of Cole Spinks, maybe a little bigger than Cole. He's a good tackler, very aggressive. He's just around the ball all the time.
Streaks call a timeout as they line up for 2nd and 9 inside the Panther 42. We'll take a timeout as well. We're just past the midpoint of the second quarter, 5:53 to play first half. It's the Streaks leading 13-0. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football at WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're a part of a community, you're part of a big family, a family of friends, neighbors, and fond acquaintances. And when you're part of a community of caregivers, caring for that family and neighbors is a special calling. For the caregivers at OSF St. Mary Medical Center, that calling means more than simply healing people. It means making them feel cared for and loved. It also takes a network of skilled specialty physicians and family practitioners. With 8 area community clinics and a 24/7 emergency department, OSF St. Mary Medical Center, this is healthcare.
Hi, this is Brian Barnhart. Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Northern Illinois. Our live coverage follows the Handyman Show tomorrow morning on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Coming out of the Galesburg timeout at the United Township High School 42-yard line. Streaks facing 2nd and 9, leading 13-0, 5:53 to play first half. Coming up at halftime, our featured guest tonight will visit with Galesburg High School volleyball coach Marla Clay. Her team in Western Big Six action tomorrow with the annual quad meet as they head up to Rock Island. We'll find out more from Coach Clay about the Silver Streaks volleyball team coming up at halftime tonight.
Look forward to that. Here on the sidelines, the Galesburg coaching staff and their new shirts. Have you seen these shirts down here, Brad? Got these new white shirts trimmed with the Silver Streak black.
Well, I saw them from a distance earlier, but I didn't get a close look at them. Handoff up the middle for the Silver Streaks and a nice run by Robert Jackson as he's rolled down in first down territory across the 30-yard line. And the officials bring it all the way back. By the time Jackson actually finally skidded to a stop on the turf, he was almost to the 25, but the tail of the football sitting on the 30. He picks up 12. And the Streaks move the chains again. That is their 11th first down of the night already. Streaks packing it in tight at the line of scrimmage. Nathan Mines, the lone wide out to the far side of the field. Diggins in motion in the backfield. Handoff goes up the middle again. Running room for Robert Jackson again. Got down low. Comes out of a pile and he's taken down inside the 10-yard line. It'll be first and goal for the Silver Streaks.
Hasn't been a lot of room to run for Robert Jackson in this first half, but he's able to break another one there, probably his longest run of the evening, and puts the Streaks at first and goal for the third time tonight.
He gains 21 there. We talked earlier, his first three runs of the night went for 5, 1, and 2, and we just had a feeling he'll wait for his moments, and he'll find them eventually. His last three runs have gone for 12, 12, and now 21. First and goal for the Streaks inside the 10. Steck on the keeper to the outside. Now works his way up the right side of the field inside the 5-yard line before he's taken down. Nice pickup on first and goal for the Silver Streaks. It'll be second and goal at about the 3.
And we talked a lot in the last couple of weeks how the Silver Streaks prefer, or at least for numbers of plays, to run left. But they've been running right a little bit more tonight following that offensive line on the right side. I'm trying to see. Oh, Taylor's over there. Matt Taylor doing a nice job. Brackett was in there on that play, number 66. And those two guys, I think, were real instrumental in Steck picking up the 5 there.
8th play of the drive. 2nd and goal from the Panther 3-yard line. Steck with a keeper. Fakes a handoff. Gets down low. The line helps push him forward, but he stops short of the goal line.
Just short.
3rd and goal.
Officials got his toe right next to the goal line, so that ball is as close as it can get without being a touchdown.
That puts him over the 100-yard rushing total already for tonight. 101 yards rushing tonight for Andrew Steck in the first half and both of Galesburg's touchdowns. 3rd and inches from the outside the goal line. Steck on the quarterback keeper, and he got more than enough. Touchdown, 3rd of the night for Steck, and the Streaks lead 19-0.
Well, getting...
Take that, Jim.
I can't talk over that. He ran right over the top of, well, his center. That's what you're supposed to do. Ryan Ricketts just blew a monster hole after he snapped the ball that time. And, you know, again, you hear a lot about Ryan, but when you come to a game, you really don't see that much because he's on the interior of their line doing the damage. But he moved him out there and gave Andrew plenty of room to go over the top. And we're going to go for 2 here.
After the Streaks did not kick the ball between the uprights after the last touchdown, they'll go for 2 to try to make it 21-0. Handoff goes up the middle, and Robert Jackson bursts across the goal line practically untouched. So they convert the 2 points, and it's now 21-0 Silver Streaks with 3:49 to play in the first half. Another solid and impressive scoring drive puts the Streaks up by 3 touchdowns. As we take a timeout, you're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Fox Sports Weekend.
We are there.
Fueled by Fox.
Fox Game Time Weekend.
Breaking sports news. First, wherever, whenever. Always. Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio.
We are there.
O-X.
Fox Game Time Sunday. When it happens in the world of sports.
We are there.
Weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate the Galesburg Christian School. This week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by Donna Robinson. Congratulations from WGIL.
3:49 to play in the first half. Galesburg on top of the United Township Panthers in the conference opener, 21-0. The Streaks' scoring drives tonight have covered 75 yards, and the last two scoring drives have gone 71 yards each on a high bounce. The Panthers finally pick it up on the fourth bounce, a little bit of running room across the middle of the field, and still on his feet as Raymond Clay bursts to the near side, and Drew Carlson, the kicker, again, has to be the one to take him down, but not until Clay gets to the Galesburg 45-yard line where he's rolled out of bounds on the Panthers' sideline.
Well, we're trying everything. We may just have to resort to a straight onside kick and kick it right at one of their front line guys, because it's Clay. That time, I thought we did the right thing. You know, we mentioned the last time Carlson kicked it too hard, and it got to Clay in a hurry on the ground. Well, that time he kicked it about half speed. But still, the Panthers, everybody looked at it. They just let it trickle right beside them until Clay could run up about 10 yards, pick it up, and darn if he didn't nearly break another one.
And he got so fortunate because that last bounce was a high hopper that came right up to him, and he was able to take it kind of on the run. And they quickly threw it to the far side of the field to Clay, and he's taken down immediately. A great open field tackle by Andy Holloway to stop him immediately after the catch, a gain of five.
Actually, I think it was Chaz Benton that got him that time,
all right,
Brad, and had to give him credit for that great tackle, and that got the fans a big round of applause here. And, you know, after that last touchdown, I was a little disappointed in the Galesburg fans. It was a little bit of quiet applause, and I'm thinking, my gosh, we're ahead 21-0 in a conference game. We haven't had many years where we can say that. And, you know, it seems to be coming too easy tonight, I guess, as the fans just enjoying the domination by Galesburg. We've played a great game on both sides of the ball, and we've not turned it over once, so it's been a nearly perfect first half.
So a timeout called with 3:17 to go in the first half. Sophomores won tonight 33-10. They are now 3-0 on the season. They have beaten their opponents 23-3, 43-3. And 33-10 tonight. So a great start for the Galesburg sophomore program. The varsity is on top tonight, 21-0. And with 3:17 to go, timeout is for one of the Panther coaches on the sideline, who's now being helped to the bench. So he's got his arms draped around a couple of assistants here on the near sideline, and hopefully he's all right. I was so focused on the action on the field, Jim. Here I'm the guy to rely on for that one to find out what's happening. It's on the press box side of the field, and I didn't see it. But he's leaning all the way back with his hand on his head. So,
well, apparently when the kickoff returned, because it went over to that side of the field, it must have happened then.
That's what I'm guessing. But they've run a play since then, too. So I don't know if something just kind of was a hit him late. You know, I mean, I don't mean literally hit him, but the feeling of what might have happened may have taken a couple of minutes to take effect. But he's sitting down, and the assistants and athletic trainer Ann Pacniak of the Silver, or excuse me, Denise Holworth are over here.
That's where Raymond came down.
And he's talking to them.
It's not something you see every day.
No.
It reminds me over at the Monmouth College football game last week, in addition to the injury to Monmouth's quarterback, and then everything else that happened in that loss, one of the members of their chain crew, who happens to be my neighbor, had a severe injury, leg or ankle, had to have surgery. just didn't get out of the way is that, you know, so many times you hear on the sidelines, and I've found it myself, you know, you think you've got, you see a play and some players coming toward you, and you feel like you've got a lot of distance and you'll get out of the way if you need to. Well, that ground closes really quickly when these guys are coming hard, and, you know, they're not focused on trying to save your safety. They're trying to get the ball carrier, and they get here in a hurry, so... It surprises me, I guess, that that doesn't happen more often. And the chain gang just has, and I mean, they're told, you know, if you see it coming at you, drop the thing and back up.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just happens more quickly than they realize, and that was a real unfortunate situation over there last week when a severe injury to one of the members of the chain gang.
Well, and how often do we see it happen, even on TV replays or something, where the play is coming to an end, and then another player will come in at the last instant and make a hit that'll suddenly change the momentum of the play and send it in a completely different direction and take out somebody on the sideline. Here's a nice low tackle as the Panthers are taken down short of the first down mark. I'm trying to see who it was who got in there.
Well, Matt Taylor was in there, but I'm not sure he was the first one, Brad.
It was Cole Spinks who got him on the legs.
So the
handoff went to Devin Miller, yeah. But it was Spinks who got in there and grabbed him on the legs and slowed him down for the rest of the teammates to come in and stop him.
Yeah, Miller, he's one of those, he kind of can just hide himself in the pile there when he runs through, but Spinks and company sorted it out and got him before he got to the marker.
Big play for UT here on third and two. Handoff up the middle, and that'll be a first down and more. Up inside the 20, and the Streaks finally gang tackle him inside the 5-yard line as the Streaks had Simon down in the backfield, but he broke free, broke up the middle, and a huge run gives the Panthers their first down of the night and their first and goal scoring opportunity inside the Galesburg 5.
You know, for their first down of the night, they've had really good field position off of those kickoffs, but haven't been able to do anything with it. But here they cash in, and the Silver Streaks defense trying to make a stand to keep the shutout intact.
Leading 21-0, but the Panthers are inside the 5. Venegas in the shotgun. Low snap, picks it up off the ground, rolling to the left side. Gets a key block that'll free him up as he gets inside the pylon on the far corner. A key block in the backfield allowed Venegas to get the running room he needed to head for the corner, and the Panthers are on the board at the 2:05 mark of the second quarter.
Yeah, they sealed very well for Venegas. He's got good speed, and he just headed right for the pylon, and for as fast as Cole Spinks and some of the linebackers are, they had just too much ground to cover. Got there too late, and Venegas able to sneak into the corner of the end zone. Well-designed play for the Panthers to get United Township on the board.
Panthers are 5 of 7 on extra point attempts this season with Wickersham in for the kick. Good snap. The hold is down. A low kick. And it does get across the crossbar. And it's now 21-7. Streaks lead by 2 touchdowns with 2:05 to play in the first half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're looking for rawhide, look for the products made right here in the USA. They taste so much better than the ones made in faraway places. I recommend Grillers, tastiest rawhide straight out of Chicago, and Harvester's Mini Cookies, also made right here in Illinois. Throw them in my bowl. Sweet potato, vanilla, and chicken. They're my favorite.
Join them on Facebook, Thorne's Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
You lost over $400 worth of meat in your freezer, missed 72 hours worth of DVR'd sports, and couldn't shower or flush your toilet for 3 days, all while surviving on a stale chip and hot pop diet. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
We'll take a break from Cardinal baseball tonight on WGIL to make room for Silver Streaks football. But tomorrow, the Cards are back against the San Diego Padres at 2:27 Saturday on WGIL.
Trayvon Diggins spun down across the Galesburg 40-yard line on the run back after the kickoff, and the Streaks have the ball with a minute 57 to go before halftime, now leading 21-7 after the Panthers put together a 4-play scoring drive that started in Galesburg territory after that great special teams kickoff return again. So they had to take in only 45 yards. They did it in four plays. And just about a minute and a half off the clock is what they took. But the Streaks get it back now with a minute 57 to go from their own 42. And you would think plenty of time based on the way the Streaks have been moving the ball tonight to try to find the end zone again. Toss into the backfield. Diggins breaks free from one ankle tackle, and then he's smacked hard and thrown down at the 40-yard line with a good tackle by big Tyler Cox.
On that kickoff, I was hoping maybe we could spring one on them, and Trayvon Diggins almost did.
Yeah.
But he got brought down just across the 40 by the one guy that could get him, and that was Raymond Clay, the guy that does all the kick returns for United Township, showing some speed and some tackling ability to save a score there.
Loss of two on first down. Panthers trying to gain some momentum here just before halftime. Little handoff across the middle, and the defense smothers the run again as the Streaks can't get back even to the original line of scrimmage. A gain of maybe a yard quickly brings up third and 11 as we approach the one-minute mark of the second quarter.
Well, this is an interesting call. We've got a two-touchdown lead with a minute to go and a third and 10. We might want to play conservative and figure, well, we've earned this, let's not take any risk. But I don't know. I feel like if we put it up in the air, we got a pretty good chance of still getting some yardage. We're not in any big hurry, though, as we come to the line.
No. Clock ticking at 40 seconds. Streaks will have to get this one off, though. Mines to the near side, and the Streaks likely will avoid the sidelines to keep the clock running. Steck on the keeper, then options it into the backfield, and he leads Chaz Benton a little too much, and Chaz has to lean forward just to even bring the ball in, and it throws him off balance, and the Panthers smell him out and take him down in a hurry for another loss on the play. So three straight running plays for the Silver Streaks, and they go backwards. And it'll be fourth and 15. And the Panthers call timeout to stop the clock at 28 seconds. And why not? Because with their special teams, they certainly feel like they could break this one.
Yeah, I still would have liked to have seen the pass play there, I guess, especially with the choice that we made, because that was a pretty dangerous running play when you've got that pitch. And a good job that time by Steck and Benton. But still, if you fumble it back here, which is possible on a play like that, that's a much bigger calamity than if you're throwing it downfield and have it picked down there. So hopefully it won't matter either way, but plus you run out of bounds here, so that stops the clock.
No, the Panthers called timeout.
Oh, did they call timeout?
Yeah.
Well, looked like Benton was run out of bounds, but either way, he did a nice job because they were trying to strip him as soon as they hit him, trying like crazy to pull that ball out of there, and Chaz wouldn't give it up.
Reminder, in 28 seconds, we will hear from Galesburg High School volleyball coach Marlo Clay on the halftime show. Streaks lead here 21-7. But the Panther defense was definitely energized after the offensive touchdown. And now looking for a run back. Steck boots it away, spinning inside the 35-yard line, and the Panthers let it roll. And the Streaks surround it, and the whistles finally blow it dead at the 25-yard line. And how did only 0.6 seconds go off the clock there?
Yeah, the Galesburg sideline is looking up there asking that same question.
Uh-huh.
Because especially the fact that United Township elected to let the ball hit the ground and roll.
Yeah.
I would say you got to have at least 9 or 10 seconds off there, don't you?
And are the officials talking this over?
They're sure
surrounding
they
the football at the 25-yard line. Only 0.6 seconds went off the clock.
You expect that on the road, not at home.
you can't hold it and kick it in 0.6 seconds. Now the referee coming to the near sideline. The near sideline to the press box side. That's the visitor side of the field here at Van Dyke Field. And he's talking it over with the coaching staff. Nobody looks real happy down on that sideline right now. And looks like he's saying 15 seconds. The referee is communicating with the press box. It looks like he's saying 15 seconds.
Well, you're talking about a judgment call. I mean, you figure it's somewhere between 10 and 15 seconds, so they just find a happy medium, and well, they've got it to 18.
Well, some of the Panther faithful down below us aren't very happy, but if they looked at the clock during that timeout, they would realize that it's impossible that there could be any more than that on the clock. So the Panthers get it with 18 seconds to play from their own 25-yard line, and we got flags down on a false start.
Yep, motion that time. You can see it down here.
So at this point, now moved back to their own 20, you got to believe there's a pretty conservative play call coming up here, especially moving into the wind, into the south end of the field. Streaks leading 21-7. Just looking to get to halftime here. But watch out for that guy splitting to the Galesburg side of the field. Tavian Johnson, the wideout. As they split two wideouts to both sides of the field, Venegas will keep it instead, feeling his way up the middle, and the Streaks take him down from behind. Ricketts is there. Finley is there. And the Panthers do call a timeout with 11 and a half seconds to play. So Venegas picks up maybe four. It'll bring up second and six, and they want the opportunity to call one more play.
Yeah, Venegas is fast, and he can be pretty elusive, but big number 63, Ryan Ricketts, got his hands on him that time.
Yeah.
He didn't last very long.
Nope. Should say he picked up seven on that because they lost five on the penalty just before. So Venegas has positive rushing yards tonight. Four carries, 2 yards, and a touchdown. And the Panthers have burned their final timeout here.
Yeah, if I'm Venegas, I'm probably telling my teammates, somebody block that guy. I don't want to run around him anymore.
Well, a lot of people try to take that strategy, don't they? Somebody block Ryan Ricketts. Somebody.
And sometimes you don't realize how big Ryan is until you see him on the basketball court. And I mean, he's just so thick and strong. And boy, I tell you what, he takes a double team on a lot of these plays.
In the shotgun, Venegas. Hands off.
Ricketts got him in.
Yep, that's it. That'll be the end of the first half. Or did they have? Oh, they did have one more timeout because one of those timeouts earlier was the injury timeout for the coach on the sideline. So that's right. So that was not credited to them. So a gain of a couple more. It'll be third and five as the clock stops with 7 seconds to play in the first half.
Scoreboard has it as fourth down, but they may have forgot the penalty.
Yeah, I think so.
Because obviously they'd be foolish to take a timeout if this was fourth down.
And it's not fourth and 10 either. It's third and maybe six.
They're still trying to figure out the where those seconds went that they missed. A little behind. That's because Savory's back tonight. Jim's up there.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Of course, he's going to say, I'm the public address guy. I don't run the clock. But he's kind of a distraction up there, you know, so...
Well, if he wouldn't drag all this food here and force everybody to gain about 10 pounds in five home games during the football season.
He's already whining about Iowa having to play so late tomorrow night out in Arizona. He's going to have to take a nap tomorrow to stay up and watch his Hawkeyes.
No, he'll have to take two naps tomorrow. All right, Venegas comes under center now. He's out of the shotgun with 7 seconds to play, and he'll keep it. Scrambling to the left side, trying to run between the tackles, and that doesn't go for much. And we've got a whistle, but the clock rolls out. And now the referee's going to come to the near side and say, nope, we got a timeout. And the Galesburg Silver Streaks call the timeout, and he's asking for, he's saying two. I don't know if that's point two or 2 seconds.
Well, I guarantee you Wes Olson didn't. I was standing right behind him, and as soon as that happened, Wes yelled, who called the timeout? And stomped up the sideline. So he's ready to go back into the locker room, and they're still trying to figure out who called the time there.
So Venegas gained four, and this is a punt play coming. And, you know, I wonder, you know, Jim, you pointed out it said fourth down on the scoreboard. I wonder if one of the players had noticed that and thought that the Panthers were going for it on fourth down. Now, obviously, the scoreboard is not the official. You need to look to the sideline where the down marker is. That's the official indication.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
What's going on with the scoreboard?
It's just a weird, and I'm not sure 2 seconds wasn't being awfully generous to put that much time back on the clock after that. But the streaks do not send anybody back to take the punt. And now we've got a false start by the Panthers. This is the longest 18 seconds.
And for absolutely no reason.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness we're at home.
Yeah.
When this happens and you're 3 or 4 hours from home on a road trip, it's painful. But
which 2/3 of the Western Big Six Conference was in that situation last week being that far from home. Everybody went north or played a team from the north except for Quincy, which played a team from way down south. All right, so now the Panthers are going to go for it on fourth down. And it goes up the middle, and Venegas picks up maybe 3. And the crowd, I think, gives more of a relieved applause as the first half finally comes to an end. But it was a good one for the Galesburg Silver Streaks, who on the conference opener lead the United Township Panthers 21-7. When we come back on the halftime, once again, a visit with Galesburg High School volleyball coach Marla Clay. Also a news break from the WGIL newsroom and from Fox News Radio. We'll also get a visit with Streaks assistant Jay Barshinger and a look at the first half stats. All coming up. As stay tuned for your halftime show. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football as Galesburg leads 21-7 at the half on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Rumor has it I'm fussy, especially when it comes to what I eat. The label needs to say gluten-free, and I better not see wheat, corn, or soy on the label either. That's why my owner shops Thorns and comes home with the tastiest meals, like the new line of canned foods from Eagle Pack. Turkey, beef, chicken, or lamb. They're a meal by themselves or a nice side dish. Mm-mm. I can't get enough.
Thorne's Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
The official WGIO forecast is brought to you by financial advisor Jack Kroc at Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, serving you in the same location for over 18 years. On Henderson Street in Galesburg, member SIPC. For tonight, cloudy with a low near 59. To start off your day tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers with a high near 76. Cloudy tomorrow night with a chance of showers with a low near 55. And for Sunday, high 72. It's 70 degrees at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Hi, this is Brian Barnhart. Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Northern Illinois. Our live coverage follows the Handyman Show tomorrow morning on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the Galesburg Electric Halftime Report. Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. The station Galesburg tunes to for news, talk, and Silver Streaks football. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Back here on the Halftime Show, visiting now with Streaks Volleyball Coach Marla Clay. Good to see you as always, Coach. And how's the year going for you?
You know, it's really going pretty well. We're 4-4 right now. And, you know, we had a tough loss against Quincy last night, but they're a good team. And I was pleased with the fact that we played competitively. And, you know, there's things that we can work on. We're not real big, and that hurt us against a team that's taller, which I knew that would be the case. But overall, you know, I think we had a loss to UT that I wasn't very happy with. But for the most part, they've been playing well and winning the games they should and some they shouldn't. So that's all you can ask.
Well, and with only 4 matches under your belt at this point, obviously there's still a good chunk of the season left for your kids to learn and grow from then.
Yeah, it really is. And last night what I was pleased with is after the match against Quincy, they were like, you know, that's not that. We didn't play that bad, and how could we have lost to UT? And, you know, as a coach, those are the things that you want them to realize, because I was upset that we did lose to UT. Because,
you're home banging your head on the wall going, how?
And, like, I understand, because it's a game of momentum, and there's things that, you know, go wrong on the court, and it was the end of the day of a long tournament, and we just didn't play well that game. And, you know, they went back to Quincy last night, and they played well, and And I think they realize that, yeah, they can play with anybody, and they need to bring it to the court every time they get on and get all the wins that they possibly can.
What kind of a stretch do you have coming up? Is this kind of a point in time when you can take some of those learning lessons to practice? I know you've got the early bird the quad coming up on Saturday. Are things getting to a point now where it's going to be more focused on games, or you still have some practice time you can work in here with?
We do have practice time, and like one thing I said, we were going to work on the speed of our defensive movement, because defensively we're a decent team, but when you play against the teams that hit hard, you really got to make sure that you get back quick, you get stopped so you can dig the hard hit. And they realized last night they need to work on that, and that was something that we had been working on previously. And, you know, I think it's good to play matches where the things that you've been working on get reinforced and they realize that, yes, you're right, and, yes, we got to do more at practice when we have the chance to get things done. And, you know, this weekend we do have the quad with Rocky and Alleman, and then Tuesday we play Moline, which they defeated Quincy at Quincy 2 weeks ago. So, you know, that's going to be a tough match, and they have a lot of size, which we don't. But, you know, it's the games you want to play because it's good competition and you see where you're at. And then the following Thursday we go to Richwoods, and then we have the Burlington tournament. And then I think we play that following Monday, and we play the following Thursday. And that's a conference game against UT. So we got a lot of games coming up, but it's good because I think we're at a point where we really need to be playing matches and just having that short time in practice to reinforce the things we've been working on.
Now, the early bird tournament, is that good preparation for the quad coming up?
It really is, because, you know, we opened with Quincy Notre Dame, and their coach was Kim Kessler, or Kemner, and she is the Olympian that played for Quincy Notre Dame back in the late 80s, and she played in the Olympics, so, you know, that was kind of neat to play against a team that she coached. And you know, it was a tight game, and they had a cap of 17 on the third game, and we won 17-16. So, you know, that was a really nice win for us, and I think it kind of proved to them that they can play with anybody. So, you know, that's a nice win to get. And I think when you play in a tournament like that, then we turned around and played Belleville West, and they kind of took it to us with their hitting, and, you know, they kind of learned a lesson that, yeah, there's, you got to work on the blocking, we got to get our blocking timed. And I thought when we played Quincy last night, our blocking timing was good, so it's nice to see that coming around. And I think, you know, playing in the tough tournaments really do help you. And we came out of the tournament 3-2, so I was pleased with that.
So what do you look for from the quad this weekend in terms of getting a look at your conference opponents? What, as a goal, what do you set for your team going in this weekend?
Well, I want to win 2 conference games, of course. But I really want to play consistently. You know, I told them our goal is every time we step on the court to get better. And I really feel like we need to play with consistency. Our hitting needs to get a little bit stronger. And if we make it a conscious effort to attend to the details of the game, I think we'll be successful.
You were telling me before we started here that the conference has gone to a rotation where you're playing everybody home and home, basically, so you play everybody twice. What are the advantages of doing that?
I think it just gives you a chance to prepare, and, like, you know, I think the girls were pleased with their effort last night, and the score really didn't show it because we didn't start off playing bad. It was pretty tight early. And then, you know, they got on a run and got some nice hits down. And, you know, I think it's neat to go back and play a team because there's little things that happen in a game, and if you can stop that from happening, it changes the momentum and the game stays tighter. So, I mean, I think it's an advantage to see everybody twice and realize that if you have a bad day, you're not out of it.
Have you found that there's any other adjustments you've had to make to the schedule? Maybe there's somebody you've always enjoyed traditionally playing that you couldn't play any longer. Have you run into anything like that because of it?
Well, a long time ago, before we did this, we had Abingdon on the schedule as an opening, and we lost them. And we had lost Peoria Notre Dame, and we got them back and took out Peoria High. So we've made some adjustments, but, you know, we've really tried to make sure we're playing 3A and 4A schools, and then trying to make sure we play the teams that are in our sectional and regionals.
Well, so overall, it hasn't been a huge effect on you guys.
No, it really hasn't. And, you know, we always travel because we only have 5 home games. And that happens because you don't have any of the quads. We don't host one of the quads this year. So that makes our home stay not very long. But, you know, the thing is I think after a while you get used to traveling because we know every time we get on the bus we're probably on it for an hour or more. So they get used to it, and I think it helps them prepare.
And a quick chance to promote everyone who's helping you out in terms of coaching on the sophomore and freshman levels, too. We don't want to overlook them.
Oh, yeah. Coach Mallon has a really nice sophomore team, and Melissa Patterson has the freshman squad, and I'm really impressed with them. I think they've come in with some skills, and they've got some height. And, you know, the sophomore group has got quite a bit of height for us, so it's nice to see the younger levels having the things that you need for the future. And, you know, the sophomores played a tough game against Quincy last night, and I really thought they should win it. And we were kind of talking about our competitive spirit and making sure we get things done when we can. And the freshmen are coming along. There's a lot of nice players there, and I think our future looks bright.
Great to see you as always, Marla. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Marla Clay, head coach of the Galesburg volleyball team, and we continue on the halftime show. We've got a news block coming up and also a look at the first half stats and a visit with assistant coach Jay Barshinger. Silver Streaks football continues on WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're a part of a community, you're part of a big family, a family of friends, neighbors, and fond acquaintances. And when you're part of a community of caregivers, caring for that family and neighbors is a special calling. For the caregivers at OSF St. Mary Medical Center, that calling means more than simply healing people. It means making them feel cared for and loved. It also takes a network of skilled specialty physicians and family practitioners. With 8 area community clinics and a 24/7 emergency department, OSF St. Mary Medical Center, this is healthcare.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
State officials say the tree-killing emerald ash borer has been discovered in 2 new Illinois counties. The Illinois Department of Agriculture said today the pest has been found in Champaign and Grundy counties. The pest is at Prairie Pine Campgrounds in Rantoul and at the Three Rivers Rest Area off Interstate 80 in Morris. The emerald ash borer is a small metallic green beetle native to Asia. Agriculture authorities say its larvae feed on the inner bark of ash trees, disrupting the flow of water and nutrients. Illinois farmers are getting into the fields early this year. 18% of the corn crop has already been harvested compared to less than 1% last year at this time due to all the rains. In the western region of the state, 5% of corn is harvested, with 65% matured. When it comes to soybeans in this area, 52% are turning yellow and 20% are dropping leaves. I'm Emily Ford. Top stories at home. Top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Ready Go, I'm Pam Puso. It's a tropical storm now, but Carl continues to lash the Mexican mainland. A woman and her 2-year-old granddaughter killed in a landslide that buried their house.
Some areas are probably going to see 10 to 15 inches of rain, and we'll be dealing with some landslides and some pretty devastating flooding.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth in the Atlantic, Hurricane Igor, which could be on a collision course with Bermuda. Hours before Afghans head to the polls for parliamentary elections, a rocket strikes Kabul. No word on casualties. The family of the woman who lied about having her face doused with acid is speaking out.
She's obviously dealing with some deep internal, emotional, and psychological problems.
The parents of Bethany Storrow speaking outside their home in Vancouver, Washington.
As any good parent would, we stood by our daughter.
Storrow, who could face charges, admits she doused herself. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, it's Chaz Big from WGIL with this reminder. The world-famous Glenn Miller Orchestra returns to Galesburg on Sunday, October 3rd at the Orpheum Theater at 4 p.m. For ticket information, check it out online at WGIL.com.
Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. We're here. Local owners, local radio hosts, local news, local community involvement. Find out more anytime at WGIL.com. Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
We're at halftime at Van Dyke Field, the Western Big Six Conference opener, and the Galesburg Silver Streaks lead at the break 21-7. The Sophomores were winners tonight as well, 33-10.
Play goes
they
in
are
3-0
on the season. Let's take a look at how we got to this point in the game. Silver Streaks had the ball to start off after the opening kickoff, and things happened pretty quickly. Galesburg started from its own 25-yard line, a 5-yard run from Robert Jackson to open the game. Steck ran three straight times for 9 and 3 yards, and then Steck threw a pass 6 yards to Mines. Streaks got called for a false start, and that brought up the fifth play of the drive, and they certainly did not let the penalty slow them down at all.
Play goes in motion to the left side. Streaks get a push, and Steck breaks free into UT territory. He's wide open down the near sideline. Touchdown, no flags. Galesburg leads 6-0.
It went for a 57-yard touchdown run, and at the 9:14 mark of the first quarter, the Streaks were on the board, leading 7-0 after the Drew Carlson extra point kick. United Township went three plays and a punt on the next drive. The Streaks also had to punt on their second possession of the game. Then the Panthers took over from the Galesburg 40-yard line after a nice kickoff return by the Panthers. They gained a yard, gained four, and then would have picked up a first down on the next play, except they fumbled it away, and Drew Carlson fell on it, and the Streaks took over at their own 29-yard line, and they were off and running again with 3:18 to go in the first quarter. Jackson picked up a couple. Trayvon Diggins' first carry of the night went for 16 yards. Steck got sacked in the backfield for a loss of 8, and then Diggins turned right around and gained 17 and got the first down on the very next play. Then it was Steck and Steck again. We ended the quarter with the Streaks now at the UT 31-yard line. To open the second quarter, Steck completed to Diggins for 9 yards. Jackson ran 12, and then the quarterback just kept moving right on down the field and found the end zone again. Diggins in motion. Fake handoff. Steck with the keeper. Moves to the right. Finds an opening up the middle. And he's in for the touchdown. The kick was wide left, and it was 13-0 with 10:50 to go in the first half. Let's take a break on the scoring drives here in the first half. We're going to go down to the field right now where Jim Lee is with assistant coach Jay Barshinger, and I'll bet he's pretty happy, Jim.
Okay, yeah, if we can hear ourselves over kind of a distorted speaker system tonight. Jay, 21 quick points in this one. Offense didn't turn the ball over and was pretty systematic.
Yeah, when we took our time and kind of drove the ball down, we were pretty successful. Running up through the middle and doing a lot of different things. And we got kind of out of our game plan there a little bit and threw the ball a little bit. And you needed to do that and kind of keep them loose, but we weren't quite as successful there.
And really, for a first half where United Township had the better of the field position with the way the special teams things were going on, kickoffs and punts, you come out pretty good.
Yeah, we really did. We moved the ball, and, you know, moving the ball on offense will help that field position stuff. And we got to shore up our special teams a little bit and not give them such great field position on our kickoff.
Andrew Steck has been especially effective running inside, especially near the goal line. Seems like he just kind of picks his way around in there.
Yeah, he really has done a good job. They're kind of pinching in a little bit, and so Andrew's done a great job with the option and making a fake to Robert and keeping the ball, and they had some success there.
We put it deep up top once. It was great, except it got called back for a penalty, and that was an impressive play. Do we go up top again in the second half?
You know, I think you got to keep him honest and kind of keep him back there. You know, our concern right now is protecting long enough to get the ball up there. That was a great play. Some other times they've had some pretty good pressure on us, so I think you got to kind of pick your spots.
Yeah. Well, and finally, I guess trying to get a little little momentum back here after they got the score in that second, last 2 minutes of that half took forever to end.
Yeah, it really did. Of course, they threw the ball every down, and that really took some problems. So, you know, we've got to do a good job here. They get the ball back, so we need to shut them down right from the get-go.
Thanks, as always, Jay.
Thank you.
21-7 Silver Streaks at the break. Finished the scoring plays in the first half. The Streaks got the ball after a United Township fumble. The Streaks took over with 3:18 to go in the first half and moved it downfield. And again, after moving the ball, moving the drive 71 yards, they found the end zone again on the ninth play of the drive. Steck on the quarterback keeper, and he got more than enough. Touchdown, third of the night for Steck, and the Streaks lead 19-0. Streaks had some big plays on the drive, a 13-yard run by Steck and an 18-yard run by Benton out of the backfield. Jackson on back-to-back carries picked up 33 yards, and by the time Steck found the end zone for the third time of the night, it was just a little half-yard plunge across the goal line to make it 21-0. And then the Panthers scored on their next-to-last possession of the first half to make it 21-7. We are kicking off underway here in the second half, and the kickoff by the Panthers goes across the 30-yard line on the run back by Tavian Johnson, and that's about as well the Streaks have contained that tonight.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that was probably addressed in the locker room before they came out, knowing that we'd be kicking off. The coaches had to be pretty unhappy with special teams coverage, and that was probably about the only thing you really could be unhappy with in that first half. We played a solid half, but we've got to come out and do it again.
From the 32-yard line is where the Panthers line up to start the second half. They scored on their last meaningful possession of the first half, back to pass. Venegas across the middle of the field, and it's almost picked off by Andy Holloway across the 45-yard line. He was the only guy there, and he kind of had to fall for it, and he just couldn't quite wrap it up.
Yeah, I think his feet went out a little bit. If he was trying to crawl up towards it and get it before it hit the ground, but he couldn't quite get there, and he gets up beating the ground. He wanted that one bad.
Venegas 2-for-3 passing in the first half for only 9 yards. Steck was 3-for-3 passing for the Streaks for 22 yards. Take a look at some of the running statistics when we get another moment. Tavian Johnson splits out wide to the near side for the Panthers along with Devin Miller. Now Miller goes in motion behind center. In the shotgun, Venegas looks right to Miller on the swing pass. Now cuts back to the middle of the field as the defense swung that way. Tries to go up the middle. Gets past D. Dortch. Now running to the right side of the field. And finally wrapped up. Dortch came all the way back on the play to bring him down. I think Drew Carlson was there as well. And after all that running, he gets stopped short of the first down marker as he moves the ball up to the 40-yard line. But it'll be 3rd and 2 for the Silver Streaks.
That was a heroic effort that time. We had him contained everywhere he went, but he still managed to pick up a few yards out of that deal.
So it's now 3rd and 2. Miller gains 8 on the play. Panthers only 1 of 5 on 3rd down tonight. But they needed a big 3rd down conversion in the first half, and they got it, and it went all the way down inside the Galesburg 5-yard line, and then they scored on the next play. So they didn't have a first down all night long, and then they picked up 2 on back-to-back plays just before the end of the first half. Venegas rolling to the near side, needing a couple, gets to the corner for the first down at the 45, steps inside, pass to tackle, and run out of bounds in Galesburg territory at the 49-yard line. Call Tremaine Carson with credit for the tackle, as he was the one who forced Venegas to step out of bounds, and the Panthers are back inside Galesburg territory between the 48 and 49-yard line.
Well, the main weapon of both of these offenses right now is the quarterback run. They do it in different ways. Venegas has got speed. He wants to get to the edge, whereas Steck, of course, not real long on speed, but a little more on power and picking his way up the middle for most of his yards tonight.
From the Galesburg 49-yard line, Venegas still in the shotgun. Short drop, looks downfield, throwing long. Black jersey's there, but overthrows everybody, incomplete.
Yeah, it's pretty clear from the time he let that go. The only one that might have a chance at it would be Robert Jackson. He was the nearest to it.
And that's not who Venegas wanted to catch.
No. Definitely not. But it was even a little too far over Robert's head. And you know that's thrown too hard if he can't even run underneath of it.
Clock stop after the incompletion. 10:37 to go. Third quarter. We're just underway in the second half. Galesburg leading 21-7. But the Panthers have the ball on the opening drive of this third quarter. Wideout splitting wide to the far side of the field. Brad Daniels and Raymond Clay. Two wideouts to the near side of the field. And a toss To Devin Miller, trying to get to the right side. It cuts up the middle of the field across the Galesburg 45 to the 44. Quick little pitch play, and he picks up five.
The old shuffle pass.
Uh-huh.
The Bears used to use that effectively back when they had Dennis Gentry. He was a terror at that. They would just let the line come through a little bit and then shovel that off to him, and he would be off to the races. It's a dangerous play, and it's one you can break for big yardage sometimes, but the Streaks did a good job of covering that one up.
So technically, as Jim said, it does go as a pass. It gains five. Third and five now at coming for the Panthers inside the Galesburg 45. And we've got offsides as the Panthers are going to step across the line of scrimmage on this near side of the field. One of the wideouts got out there too far, and that'll bring it back to outside of third and 10. It's about third and five and a half right now, so the down marker is going to be behind the original line of scrimmage, and they'll face third and 10 plus coming up here. Fifth penalty of the night for the Panthers for 25 yards.
Such a nice evening out here. The wind has really subsided. If you look at the flag, it's hanging limp. Get a little breath of it once in a while, but that's a good thing, and it's made it very comfortable for the fans. Just some light jackets out here, and a lot of folks staying many times after the band would play in years gone by. The bleachers would kind of empty out, but a lot of folks have stayed around. It's a good ball game. Streaks are having a good go of it tonight.
Leading 21-7, Venegas on a deep drop, looking too deep for a deep pass, and we're going to have pass interference by Andy Holloway as the intended receiver downfield was Tavian Johnson, and Holloway got him from behind, and Johnson is slow to get up. I'm sorry, that's Clay, and he's slow to get up, but he's kneeling down again and back up again, so apparently he's going to stay in the game. I don't know exactly how Holloway got him. He clearly got him from behind before the ball got to him, and I'm not sure how exactly he got him that shook him up, but this is going to give the Panthers a new set of downs on the penalty.
Yeah, it really wasn't a hit at all that shook him up. Just when he went down to the ground, I don't know what he did. Andy's contact was minimal. It was Andy was actually back there, and the receiver Clay was working his way towards the ball and really kind of initiated the contact, I thought. I'm not sure I would have flagged that one, but, of course, I'm probably a little partial down here, too. So Holloway knew there was some contact, and he didn't argue it. He was frustrated that he let that happen. Jackson was coming
over. He was frustrated
over.
He got caught.
Yeah. Jackson was kind of catching up to the play and coming up underneath, but didn't quite get there in time.
Panthers are 2-for-2 on third down conversions on this drive. Venegas rolling out to the right, and he underthrows his receiver inside the 30-yard line. That falls incomplete. So three times on first down now, the Panthers have attempted a pass, and three times it has fallen incomplete. But on the first two series, they have been able to move the chains. Let's see if they can do it here with the ball spotted at the Galesburg 34. 9:43 to go in the third quarter. Again, we're just underway in the second half. Streaks leading 21-7.
I thought they were throwing out T-shirts when I heard the crowd behind me, but the cheerleaders are just running up and down with a sign that says, "Get loud." That's all it took, at least for the student body. It doesn't work on the parents as well.
In the shotgun, handoff to the right side, getting down low. Here's the running back, Dedrick Bonilla. He gets stopped just short of the 30-yard line. Well, the Cardinals continue to defy logic, Jim. They're beating the Padres 9-3 in the fifth inning.
After getting swept by the Cubs.
By the Cubs, yeah. At home.
They'll take four from the Padres and then go lose three in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Of course, the Padres aren't exactly tearing it up right now either, I guess.
No, they don't hit much. They've had to survive on great pitching.
Which has served them well for 80% of the season, but this final 20% is been a real challenge for them.
What is it with Colorado? Every year they just lay low and then they hardly ever lose in September.
All right, third and five upcoming for the Panthers. Streaks showing blitz. Now Carson backs out from the far side. High snap. Venegas has to wrap it up. And Ennis had him under pressure in the backfield. Venegas running to the far side of the field. Finds his way into first down territory as he stopped just across the 25-yard line.
Wow, that's too bad. Hurd wrapped him up, but not before he had gotten just to the sticks. And now we've got a streak that's a little slow getting up. That's Cole Spinks. That's not what we want to see.
No. Well, to finish the thought on the Rockies, after staying up late one night and watching them score 10 runs on the Cardinals in the ninth inning to come back from a 7-run deficit, which then caused me to lose about 3 hours sleep that night.
I'm surprised you slept at all.
I just had a feeling that after watching that game, that was one of those games you watch and you almost wondered if that was going to be the turning point for them. All right, Cole is up, looks like he's favoring his left leg, but now he's walking a little more evenly. And now he's limping a little bit again as Denise Polworth gets him over to the sideline. So hopefully Cole's all right as we have an injury timeout. 8:42 to go third quarter. Streaks leading 21-7, but the Panthers have converted 3 third downs on this drive. They've had the ball the entire second half so far and have pushed the ball down to the Galesburg 24.
Spinks favoring his lower left leg. Dr. Garnett looking at it over there. It looks like high ankle maybe. He's trying to walk it off. You know, it's going to be pretty tough to tell Cole Spinks to stay off the field for long.
This is the 10th play of the drive coming up. That has included 2 penalties, 1 on each team. Quick sling pass to the near side by Venegas, and again they throw on first down, and again it falls incomplete with the intended receiver, Devin Miller.
Well, I've got to give it to Coach Ron Litchfield and his staff over there at United Township has really made this team a competitive club this year. Of course, he can't do it all by himself. The kids have to buy into it, but apparently they have. And even in this one tonight, it looked like the Silver Streaks were clearly going to be the dominant team on the field. But after jumping out to that 21-0 lead, Litchfield and company have found some things that'll work offensively, most of it focusing on the quarterback, Villegas, and they're just slowly moving their way down here to maybe make this thing a game.
Venegas in the shotgun with Bonilla lined up to his left. Now this pass goes underneath his legs, and he does everything he can just to get back to it because Jared Carr was coming hard, and Venegas looked up at him and saw him coming, and it was everything he could do to get to the ball before Jared did. So a big loss on second down.
Yeah, Jared did everything right that time. Great momentum, and when he went down, he not only got the tackle, but he stuck his helmet in there and was lengthwise trying to force the ball away also. Just a heck of an aggressive play by Carl. Perfectly played. And now the Streaks maybe can get our stop.
Venegas loses 14 on the play. And it's now 3rd and 24, all the way back to the Galesburg 38-yard line. With the clock rolling under 8 minutes to play third quarter, Streaks on top, 21-7. But it's been a long time since they've had the ball. The defense has been out there a long time if you go back to the end of the first half. Up the middle, Bonilla hit hard by Kevin Hurd, and he pushes him all the way back, 8 yards from the line of scrimmage after the initial hit, as Hurd clearly was trying to send a message there. Don't come my direction. Bonilla loses 2 more, and the Panthers send out the punt unit.
Kevin, one of the guys on this team that plays with some emotion. A lot of the guys, they play well, but many times they're a little more stoic. But Kevin, when he gets a good play, it sparks up him and it sparks up the rest of the team.
So the Panthers do not convert a third down for the first time on that drive, and they are in punt formation with 2 Silver Streaks back at their own 10. A high kick, but a short one to the far side of the field. And now the Streaks are going to let it bounce. And it just gets into the end zone because charging hard from behind, Raymond Clay almost got to it. But as hard as he was running, it would be hard to imagine even how he could have somehow stopped that ball from going into the end zone. But it was awfully close.
Yeah, we caught a break on that because that ball could have died at about the 1. And thank goodness it took the right roll for us and went into the end zone. And D. Dorch got chewed out a little as he came off the field that time because he was in the neighborhood of the ball a little too close. He had his back to it, and the coaching staff was holding their breath, hoping that thing wouldn't come up and nick the back of his leg. Fortunately, it didn't, and he heard about it coming off.
Streaks take over at the 20-yard line. Andrew Steck under center as the Streaks finally get the ball after 5 minutes are gone at the beginning of the second half. And Steck breaks free out of the backfield, into the secondary, sidesteps a tackle to the left, down the home sideline, now trying to cut back. We've got a flag down as he's inside the 30-yard line, finally wrapped up and taken down short of the United Township 20. But there's a flag down back at the Panther 40. I think we might have a block in the back on the Silver Streaks. But let's see.
Hate to see that laundry down there. That's too bad. What a big play.
Referee finally gets over to confer with the official who called the flag. It is a block in the back on the Silver Streaks. What a tremendous run by Andrew Steck to take it from his 20-yard line down to the Panther 23, but apparently aided a little illegally. But he'll still have the first down.
And it's too bad because the infraction came well after he was on his way to some bigger yardage. He was just looking for that last block, and as he was trying to cut back over towards the Galesburg sideline, that apparently is where the penalty occurred. But you're right, Brad. It's still a good gain for Galesburg.
49-8.
So it goes as a 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul, which was at the UT 40-yard line. So the ball is right at midfield. So a net gain of 30 on the play for the Silver Streaks, and on their first play of the second half, that's a pretty good way to start things off when you touch the ball for the first time after 5 minutes. 6:45 to go, third quarter. Streaks with the ball now for the first time in the second half, leading 21-7. With a triple option backfield. In motion, Diggins. Steck fakes the handoff to the left side. Now rolling to the left side, and it does go to Robert Jackson into first down territory for a gain of 20 more down inside the UT 30 to the 29. And Robert Jackson didn't get much early on, but he's chewing up the turf now with big gains. He's gone from 8 yards rushing up to 75 yards rushing in just his last five carries.
Let's hope this drive continues. Galesburg trying to reassert control of this game. They're up 21-7 on the scoreboard, but late first half, early second half, you kind of got a feeling maybe the tide was turning a little bit, the Silver Streaks starting to march here again.
Toward the left side, a little bit of running room for the Silver Streaks, but not a whole lot there. A gain of a couple on first down. This will move the chains to about the, or move the marker to about the 27. As Jackson picks up a couple. And it'll be second and down, second down for the Silver Streaks.
For a couple of teams that have had some trouble with ball secure in the early part of the season, you can tell both of them have been working on that in practice because this game has been played pretty cleanly from that standpoint.
The Panthers' biggest troubles in that category have been the snap and the shotgun, as they've under-snapped Venegas a couple of times, the quarterback. Jackson again to the left side, and the hole closes quickly. He may have gained a yard, and the Streaks face third and long coming up here. As we approach the 5.5-minute mark of the third quarter, Galesburg on top, 21-7, and now another Streak is down on his knees. And trying to get up and down again. Now he rolls over. Now I see it's Finley. Well, he was down on his knees. The jersey numbers was facing straight up to the sky, and neither Jim nor I could get a good look at it. But now that he's seated, we can see that it's Finley, and he's still shaky getting up.
I was going to say, he didn't look to be in too much pain as he was sitting there.
And now he's rather determined as he kind of walks away from Denise Polworth and a couple of the Streaks' assistants, and he's determined to walk off the field on his own. And now it looks like he's going to be all right. He must have just gotten knocked a little woozy there, perhaps. So hopefully Austin will be all right.
The United Township taking the opportunity. Every one of their players went down on a knee. Figured they had that little injury timeout. And the water boy from Galesburg comes out, refreshes everybody else. Finley, of course, out for at least one play as Steck comes in from the sideline on a big third down call now for Galesburg.
Streaks lost a yard on the play from the UT 28-yard line, third and nine. Streaks are 3 for 5 on third downs tonight. Clock rolling, 5:10 to play third quarter. Galesburg trying to find the end zone for the first time in this third quarter. Handoff left side, Jackson trying to feel his way, find some running room into the secondary, wrapped up from behind and taken down at the 10-yard line. The ball pops loose, but the officials have blown the play dead, and the Streaks may have a first and goal here, and our third quarter name in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest, Sylvia Burford of Galesburg. If the Streaks can finish off the last 10 yards of this drive, it'll make a winner of Sylvia Burford of Galesburg. She's hoping for a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg if the Streaks can find the end zone here. Jackson gained 18 on the play. Streaks on a first and goal. Handoff right side. Jackson bounces off a tackle in the backfield. Moves his way to the left, feels his way through the 5-yard line to about the 4.
Good hard run by Jackson again, number 64, Emmett Hazlett, a big senior defensive tackle, had his hands on him, had his jersey pulled, but Jackson able to get away from him and pick up an extra five, gets it inside the five, the nose of the ball at the four, and so some good hard inside running by Robert Jackson has the streaks in position to build that three-touchdown lead back here.
That puts Robert over the 100-yard rushing mark of the night now. 11 carries for 101 yards. Diggins in motion. Handoff goes to the left side, and Jackson practically walks into the end zone. The hole didn't seem to be there initially, and then Robert came out of nowhere, and he was easily into the end zone after that.
Nice spin-off by Jackson that time. He hit the front part of the pile and then just made that nice spin around, like you said, Brad. After that, nobody touched him going on in. Cole Spinks was back in there, very slow to get up again. He was mixing it up with some of the big boys from United Township, got off the bottom of the pile, really favoring that left leg, but he's still in there for the extra point.
Sixth place scoring drive for the Silver Streaks, and a tough job getting the snap down as it looked to be a little to the inside of Derek Armstrong, and he had to try to get the ball back over and get it down, and that threw off Carlson's timing, and the kick is no good. But the Streaks lead again by 20 at 27-7. With 4:01 to play in the third quarter. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Gregory Shire. Proud to bring you GHS Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
Hi, this is Brian Barnhart. Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Northern Illinois. Our live coverage follows the Handyman Show tomorrow morning on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
A seven-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks, 80 yards. Galesburg takes 2 minutes and 58 seconds off the clock and a deep kick. And this will give the Panthers a chance to run one back. And, boy, they closed the hole quickly as Raymond Clay tried to sneak in behind the wedge, and Galesburg broke through that wedge pretty quickly. And Clay returns it to the UT 26. 3:57 to go third quarter. Streaks lead by 20.
Well, after the extra point team came off the field, Tom Hawkins was shaking his head looking at them, and they are making what should be a fairly simple play awfully difficult here through 4 weeks of the season. We thought that those might be rather automatic, and they've been anything but for the Silver Streaks. The times they do it right, it's been
a thing
sharp,
of beauty.
But, they make it look so easy, we think, why can't we just do that all the time? Ball was loose on the ground there briefly, but United Township covered it up while I was talking. Still at the 26, it'll be second down.
27-7 is the Galesburg lead. Impressive tonight, Jim, the Streak scoring drives. 80 yards on the last one, 75, 71, and 71 yards. If they can do that for the remaining five games of the season after this, they should have some success.
Well, we're able to do it on the ground tonight. We're still, for the most part, a bigger team across the board than United Township.
Snap to Venegas, and he overthrows his intended receiver, cutting from the near side of the field across to the middle. Tavian Johnson overthrown, and Chaz Benton was there to defend for the Silver Streak. So it's quickly 3rd and 10 upcoming here for the Panthers.
But I can almost guarantee you that a lot of these things that are working tonight will not work next week.
Yeah.
We'll have to do something different because Alleman will not let us run the football like this. I would be shocked if that's the case. And last year, certainly, they just jammed us on everything we tried to do on the ground, and we had no air game. Andrew Steck was out of commission by then, and I think we're going to have to be able to put it in the air consistently to win in the next couple of weeks.
Venegas rolling to the near side, and he ran into Tremaine Carson, cuts back to the middle of the field and got some running room across the 50. Into Galesburg territory, rolled down from behind at the 40-yard line as Jared Carl finally is the one who tracks him down. But Tremaine Carson cut him off from the near side. That forced Venegas to cut back to the middle. And when he did that, he had a lot of room to run. And it's a first down for the Panthers at the Silver Streaks 36-and-a-half-yard line.
A
Venegas is certainly a problem. You get a mobile quarterback like this, and he runs aggressively, and he's got just a little more speed than most of the people in the defense, and he's dangerous. And really, it's a good thing, though, the rest of the team outside of Clay on the kick returns hasn't given us much trouble.
So the Streaks defense has bent at times throughout the first three and a half games, but really has never broken that badly. They're bending again here as the defense swarms and closes down the option play and drops Devin Miller for a gain of two at the 35-yard line.
Well, like I said, it seems like Venegas, the quarterback, is the biggest threat in that backfield. So this, if you're the Streaks pursuing a play like that, you've got to make him give up the ball, and then you take your chances with the back, and that's exactly what we did there. Backs don't seem to be as slippery and as quick a foot as Venegas, so if you can give him to cough that up every time, then you go ahead and stretch it out a little wider and you ought to be all right.
2:05, and the clock is rolling on the Panthers here in the third quarter. Silver Streaks leading 27-7, second and eight for UT. From the Galesburg 35-yard line, and the shotgun low snap, Venegas rolls right, throws across the middle. Jared Carl makes the tackle, but the pass is complete across the 30-yard line. Just a couple of yards short of the first down as Raymond Clay brought it in, and a good sure tackle by Jared Carl to prevent the first down, at least for the moment. It's down to a third and one.
We've said that a lot tonight, good sure tackle by Jared Carl. He really impresses me. He plays very aggressively out there, draped all over the guy that time. He wasn't going to get much more than just the catch. He's come clear across the field to make tackles, and yeah, Jared doing a nice job on that defensive end spot.
Third and one upcoming for the Panthers. They are 4 of 5 on third downs in this third quarter. And in the shotgun again, Venegas hands off to Miller up the middle and hit short of the line of scrimmage, but then his forward progress before he's brought down from behind may be enough. We'll credit Ricketts with the tackle, and the officials want to take a look at this. Where's the spot going to be? Boy, from up here it looks short. The official trying to eyeball it compared to the sideline, and he says, I want to bring the chains out.
You know, and I mentioned Carl from the defensive end spot. That's kind of where he's lined up a number of times tonight. He isn't truly a defensive end. He's a defensive back, but a lot of times, depending on where the receiver's at, if they're running two and one's in tight against the line, Jared's right up there with him, and so he effectively becomes a, you know, kind of a glorified defensive end at that point, just spread off the line a little.
Boy, that's not close at all, if that's right. Okay, now they've got the back chain down where it should be, and it ended up not being nearly as far from the first down as it was when they first stretched it out. But he's about the length of the football short, wasn't he, Jim, if I saw that right?
I would
from
say
up here?
Maybe a little more than that, yeah.
So fourth down here, and a decision for the Panthers in Galesburg territory inside the 30 at the 27, but they'll go for it. The wind that was blowing earlier, a stronger breeze, but not a heavy wind by any means, has pretty much gone to the wayside as the flag is hanging limp in the south end zone. Under 50 seconds to play, third quarter, Panthers lining up on fourth and inches. On the drop back, Venegas hands off and the ball pops loose, and the Streaks are going to get this back either way. If they fell on it, because the ball is behind the first down marker. So either way, the Streaks are going to have this. The officials are unpiling, still looking.
You probably heard the big ball yell from standing right behind the team, and that thing did. It popped way up in the air, and that's an exciting thing when you're a defenseman to see that ball free. And they're still sorting out the pile, but I think you're right, Brad. It shouldn't matter who has it, where it is on the field. The Streaks have it.
Streaks got it. Streaks got it on the fumble recovery, so they came up with it either way and will turn things around. The Panthers do not convert on fourth down.
Jake Ennis comes off the bottom of the pile with that one.
How about that job by the Streaks defense? They live for moments like that, and they rose to the occasion.
Yeah, and they really loaded up inside and shot the gap, and I'm a little surprised that, you know, in some respects, conventional wisdom says if you got the length of a football to go, you don't try and risk going outside, you run it in, but that the Panthers have had trouble in there all night, but have had a lot of success wide, but they decided to try it in, and it didn't work.
Silver Streaks take over from their own 27-yard line. Andy Holloway in motion, and flags fly, so quickly the clock stops at 30, just under 38 seconds to play, as this one likely will go against the Silver Streaks.
Looks similar to a penalty in the first half when we had Holloway in motion behind Steck.
Yep, false start.
And then there was a little motion up front away from Andy.
So they'll move it back from their own 27, back to their own 22-yard line. More penalties tonight for the Silver Streaks than we've seen through the first three games of the season. They're sixth tonight for 50 yards, including a big defensive penalty that enabled the Panthers to pick up a first down earlier in the half. But their drive stalled, and it ended up not costing the Streaks anything other than a little more time off the clock.
Well, I don't like penalties, but I'll trade a few extra penalties for no turnovers.
Absolutely. 37 seconds to go, third quarter. Streaks back on offense, handoff up the middle. That was a little slow to develop on the exchange, and the Streaks gained nothing on first down. So now they'll play second and 15 coming up with the clock rolling. 25 seconds to play in the third quarter. 27-7, the Galesburg lead. And let's see, I doubt the Streaks will make any effort even to get one more playoff here in the third quarter. No need to, leading by three touchdowns.
Nope. Steck looked down at the scoreboard, looked to the sidelines, said, just take a blow, guys. We're going to go down to the other end and start quarter number four.
Sophomores won tonight 33-10 at the end of three quarters. The varsity leads as well, 27-7 over the United Township Panthers. And you're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Red 22.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
Blue 45.
We're proud to support the Silver Streaks football team and cheer them on to another winning season.
What do you think of these drapes for my living room?
Red for $22 or the blue for $45?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate the Galesburg Christian School, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by Donna Robinson. Congratulations from WGIL.
12 minutes to play in the Western Big Six Conference opener at Van Dyke Field. And the Galesburg Silver Streaks lead 27-7. Three touchdown runs in the first half by quarterback Andrew Steck. A touchdown run by Robert Jackson in the third quarter. And the Streaks lead 27-7. And we have had winners in all three quarters of the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest tonight. Barbara Schultz, Felicia Mangieri, and Sylvia Burford, all of Galesburg tonight, winners of $10 gift certificates to Hungry Hobo. And now Luke Krause of Galesburg, our name in the fourth quarter for the Silver Streaks, as he hopes Galesburg can find the end zone. And we can go a perfect 4-for-4 tonight on the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. But 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Galesburg does have the ball, leading 27-7. It'll be second and 11 from the Silver Streaks 22.5-yard line as the men in black line it up, ready to get this fourth quarter started. Try to make it a perfect night at Van Dyke Field on the conference opener. Pass across the middle of the field and right into the numbers. Steck finds Jared Carl for the completion at the 40-yard line. 2 yards past the first down marker. Perfect pass from Steck to move the chains.
Yeah, that was something like you'd see in an NFL game. There was precision that time. Number one, it started up front. Good protection, and Jay Barshinger told us that at halftime. If we're going to throw, we've got to give Andrew a little time. Got to let the play develop. Jared Carl just ran a nice slant. Perfect throw right between the one and four of his jerseys. He secured it, went down, and the Streaks get a first down.
First pass attempt of the second half for the Silver Streaks. Steck is 4-for-4 through the air tonight. Second reception for Jared Carl. Rolling to the right. Steck on the option keeper, and he gets hit pretty hard. Stacked up and thrown all the way back at the 30-yard line. The officials are frantically blowing the whistles because the ball came loose, and there was a scramble for the ball afterwards, but that play had been blown dead, and Steck... Well, where the officials are standing, I think they're being generous to say that he got back to the line of scrimmage because it didn't look like it from up here.
Yeah, he really got gang tackled that time. And as they were driving him back, of course, they're trying to reach in there and rip that ball out, which eventually they did, but they had blown the whistles long before that. No question that that was going to be denied as a fumble, and the Streaks keep it. But we'll look at second and 10 and may think about going to the air again. They've been pretty successful there, but when you're up three touchdowns, you don't want to get too cavalier with the ball.
Under 11 minutes to play in the game. Streaks from their own 39. Steck, handoff straight up the middle. Running room, and a big hole for Robert Jackson into the secondary. Downfield to the 20, to the 10, for the end zone. Touchdown! When Robert Jackson hits that hole, man, does he hit it in a hurry. And the Panther defense wasn't ready for it. A 61-yard touchdown run, Jackson's second run of the night. And the Streaks lead 33-7.
You know, one of the best formulas for a touchdown when you've got good speed and you're able to get it a little off tackle, then cut to the sideline, make everybody chase you, you build your momentum, and Jackson did that. Nobody was going to catch him from behind. Robert takes it all the way for the touchdown, and the Streaks have used a number of weapons tonight, mainly Steckin Jackson, mixed in a little Trayvon Diggins, a few pass plays here and there, and it's been a very balanced offensive attack, and now a big lead, 33-7.
And he stays in the game after that long run. He scored on a two-point conversion run earlier, and now two Streaks go in motion, and late flags. Everybody saw that one.
Oh, poor Steck got slaughtered there, too.
The officials didn't get the flags down in time. Now we've got another flag come soaring after the play. The play had been blown dead. Austin Finley is coming out very upset, and Steck comes out of the pile. Now some of the players on both sidelines looking like they want to head into the pile. As we've got players shoving and pushing, and I think we're going to have personal fouls on both sides here. We're going to have a false start penalty on the Silver Streaks and then late flags. Ron Litchfield was heading into the pile, and the officials are saying, go back to the sideline, coach. Go back to the sideline. We really had some emotions flying in there late, and I'm sure the Streaks were upset because the play had been blown dead. And like you said, Jim, Steck got hit pretty hard when it was all said and done. And I don't think they took very kindly to the quarterback taking a hit like that. And Steck's kind of walking it off here a little bit. Hopefully he's all right.
I know Austin Finley was the first one that came out of there. You could tell he was mad.
Yeah.
And then as that kept going, Cole Spinks was in the mix. And, in fact, Cole went over after they finally got everybody sent to their own sides. And he had to answer to Coach Wes Olson and say exactly what was transpiring in there. And so the defensive captain talks to his head coach. He heads back out, and now the officials, you know, and it's like you said, it'll probably end up being a double foul, which is, you know, it doesn't really penalize anybody at that point. I think initially you were going to get one penalty, but then as Finley came away, and then all of a sudden behind him the thing kicked up again, I think he might have another flag there.
You get a hit, man. The whole team's flagged.
Well, we have one signal against the Silver Streaks.
And it'll negate the conversion attempt.
There's the personal foul offset. Okay, so the first penalty was the motion penalty on the Silver Streaks because we had two players in motion on the conversion. Now, this is interesting. The referee has signaled that UT declined the first penalty because the conversion failed, but I could have sworn they were blowing the whistles that they were blowing the play dead before really anything. I got the impression they were trying to blow the play dead.
Yeah, and in fact, the officials are having to explain that to Coach Wes Olson, who's about 20 feet out onto the field right now talking with one of the officials, and I think he's probably making the same point you did, Brad, that you should be rerunning the play. If you blow it dead, you've got to give the team the opportunity to run it. And then we had a personal foul penalty against United Township, so I'm assuming they'll assess that on the kickoff. Is that the impression you get?
No. Well, and then he continued after that. So, yeah, he signaled the personal foul on United Township, which I guess must have been what the one flag would have been at the end of the play if he pointed their direction first. But then he continued to indicate personal foul on the Silver Streaks as well. So it does end up as being an offsetting penalty. Fortunately, at least from the Galesburg perspective, not being able to run that two-point conversion shouldn't matter. With 10:27 to go in the game and the Streaks leading by four touchdowns, it's 33-7. If it comes back to make a difference, then there's going to be far more things to be concerned about than whether the officials cheated Galesburg out of a chance for two more points there, because it should not matter.
And the officials talking, I think they're being proactive here.
Yes.
They've got the captains of the teams out there. They've got the head coaches of the teams out there and saying, look, this got to stop. We still got 10 minutes of football to play, and they are laying it on the line right now. And, you know, this was a little unusual in the fact where it was at. A lot of times you'll see a couple of players on the edge getting at it. This was right inside. This was the big boys. This, you know, this was Finley and Ricketts and Spinks in there mixing it up with the big guys from United Township. And bodies can fly when you get the big bashers mad at each other in there, and the official's still very animated and telling these captains what will and will not be tolerated out here for the last 10:27 of this ball game.
So let's go ahead and reset where we are. As Jim said, just under 10.5 minutes to play in the game. Streaks leading 33-7 after a three-play scoring drive that covered 77 yards. I'm sorry, there were three plays in the fourth quarter. We actually need to go back to those other two plays that ended the third quarter. So let's make that a... Let's see, there was a false start, there was a run. All right, it was a four-play scoring drive that covered 77 yards. That made a lot of difference. Four plays, 77 yards, and a minute 33 off the clock. Robert Jackson, a 61-yard touchdown run, makes a winner of Luke Krause of Galesburg in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest, and we did it. Clean sweep. Everybody wins tonight in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. $10 gift certificates to all, and there are those four names entered into the final drawing for a party sub from Hungry Hobo at the end of the football season. Kick deep to the 10-yard line. Clay straight up the middle. Somebody got him by the high jersey from behind, and that slowed him down, and the Streaks walloped him at the 25.
Yeah, for some reason, Clay, who ran with a great deal of momentum most of the evening, kind of came to a stop that time and turned his back, and when you do that, you're just begging to get clobbered.
Somebody on this side of the field, Jim, got him up high, got him around the shoulder pads, and kind of got him by the jersey a little bit, and that turned him and it slowed him down. So okay. I'm not sure that he came to a stop. I think he got slowed down.
Okay. Well, but Kenny Malcolm was, I'd give him the greater majority of the tackle there that time anyway. I'm not sure he's the one that slowed him down, but he was the one that finished him off for sure.
Streaks still have pretty much the entire first-team defense in, leading 33-7 with 10:20 to go in the game. Back to pass Venegas across the middle of the field, and he throws behind the intended receiver, and then flags come down. So are they going to say that somebody got Devin Miller on
the... D-Dorch from behind.
Okay.
And probably the right call. It was close. It was close, but...
I thought he just slipped, but you had a better look at it than I did. And it was out in the open field, and the officials... pretty well saw it. So, well, let's hope this doesn't become the pattern for the final 10:17 of the game, or else it's going to be a long 10.5 minutes with pass plays and penalties. And
it's been a long game tonight, period.
It's had its stretches where the game has just come to a complete stop, and then it moves along pretty well for a while, and then something else drags the game to a complete stop again.
Well, and I read where their game last week took forever. It was over 3 hours because they had some lightning and some injuries that stopped play four or five times, they said. So they're used to this.
Second pass interference penalty on the Silver Streaks. Venegas to go to the air again. Deep down the far side of the field. They tried the same combination. Miller with D-Dorch on him, and he overthrows both. Miller went down to his knees as I think he just kind of stumbled over his own feet trying to reach up and knocked himself off balance a little bit trying to stretch out for that pass. So no penalty on that one, and second down after the incompletion. Go ahead, Jim.
The Hungry Hobo winners, and everybody coming away happy tonight. And those that had their name drawn tonight probably should be glad they didn't have their name drawn next week. Not that it's impossible to score four quarters against Alleman, but it's pretty darn tough. So I don't think we'll be giving away as many sandwiches maybe next week as we did here tonight.
In the shotgun, Venegas on 2nd and 10. Looking to pass the left side of the field again, and he overthrows everybody.
Here's another flag
goes down.
That was a little much.
Tavian Johnson was the intended receiver, but gosh, the pass was thrown a good 2 feet over his head.
Yeah, I think they're going to throw it in the neighborhood of Tyler Brackett. And the official's talking, but I mean, if I'm United Township right now, I think I just run out there and fall down. That's about all it takes.
Yep, so there's the third pass interference penalty against the Silver Streaks tonight. So that's going to move it into Galesburg territory. Another first down by penalty takes it to the Galesburg 45-yard line. Third time tonight the Streaks have been flagged for a 15-yarder. Eight penalties for 80 yards for the Silver Streaks. And again, that's the first time we've really seen that this season. Penalties have not been a problem up to this point. I'll tell you, Jim, I was thinking, looking at that scoreboard with the Streaks on top, 33-7. 10:08 to go in this game. That's how close the streaks are to going 3-1. And boy, how close are they to being 4-0 if this continues to go this way? That 1-point loss to Morton 2 weeks ago. Oh. In the shotgun, Venegas. Streaks itching at the line of scrimmage, and we have flags. Jared Carl was rocking on the end spot, just rocking, just trying to get in there, and he forced somebody to move a little bit.
Oh, I found a bench over here.
Yep, you're going to need it. We've had a penalty, an incompletion, a penalty, and we have taken 20 seconds off the clock in the last 5 minutes.
Now, one thing I'll say, looking up at the press box, I still like to have a brand new one, but we've got a new coat of paint, and now we have new windows this week.
Yay!
So we're making some progress, and Ralph Henning, athletic director, said they'll have new countertops at some point.
Yay!
Said the carpet's going to disappear, they're just going to paint the floor.
I do like a little padding. Oh, here's another false start for the Panthers as Tyler Cox broke too quickly out of the end spot. The tight end was heading downfield before the snap was made, so we've got another 5-yard penalty.
And, of course, never one to be completely satisfied. The one thing about the new windows is it makes it very difficult to hang the station banner out the front. You just have limited space when you're leaning out there, so I guess it's worth the trade-off to have windows that don't fall on your head anymore.
Well, what I liked about the old windows is when you opened one, you opened the whole thing. These, we've got a big pane of glass right in the middle, and I still like the open air as much as we can get. But
although on a night if you get some freezing rain or something, that ability to kind of half close it might not be too bad.
That's very true. Pass down the left side of the field in double coverage, and Venegas overthrows Miller on the far side of the field. Innes was down there. Cedric Washington was down there. And Innes is slow to get up. That's Jake Innes, not Tyler Innes, and now he's down on all fours at the Galesburg 21-yard line, and there's athletic trainer Denise Polworth over to take a look. Boy, she's been busy tonight, and not just with the players either. We had a United Township assistant coach who got winded earlier in the game, and the EMTs had to come over and check him out.
Yep, and Innes is up. A lot of times when a guy's down on all fours, it's a wind issue. And he rolled over and was able to pop up.
After going 2 for 3 in the first half, passing, but only for 9 yards, Venegas is 2 for 9 in the second half for only another 12 yards. And the clock has stopped with 10:01 to play in the game after the incompletion and the injury timeout to make sure Innes is all right. The water girls head out for UT.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the water boys over here have earned their keep tonight. In fact, the young man coming off, his tongue's hanging out. He's so tired. He's laughing at me. And we're probably the most hydrated team I've ever seen before with all these stops of play.
Second and 20 for the Panthers. They've had 2 penalties on this series that have taken them back to that. Now Venegas on the keeper after dropping back, and he's in trouble. Jared Carl finally throws him down at the 38-yard line and then almost doubles him over again after that, and the players get over there quickly to make sure nothing comes of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was afraid we'd see another flag off that deal. It really is, when you're a defense and you've got especially a quarterback that's been causing you problems all night and has been getting away from you, when you finally get a chance to nail him, you really want to take advantage of that, and I think Jared Carl did that right there.
He almost went a little too far.
Yep.
Venegas lost 7 on the play, so it's now 3rd and 27 for the Panthers. 9:50 still to play in the game, and the Streaks leading 33-7. Venegas back in the shotgun. Streaks have 3 down linemen rushing. Good protection block. Venegas now pressure from behind. And Jake Innes, or rather Tyler Innes this time, sacks him back at the 26-yard line.
That one fired up the bench. Robert Jackson jumping up and down over here. He's loving what he saw his defense do right there. Innes all over him for the tackle. So back-to-back sacks by Carl and Innes. And the Streaks going to force a punt here pretty soon.
Venegas loses 12 back at the UT 26-yard line. Fourth and a mile.
And now we've got a timeout taken by the Silver Streaks.
Fourth and 39.
Sean Hickey not happy with what's going on out here. He wants to send, well, I don't know. He just doesn't like the personnel he's got on the field right now. He's not very happy about having to take that timeout.
So at the UT 26-yard line, well, okay, on this series we had started at the Panther 25. We had a pass interference penalty by the Silver Streaks to the 40. Incomplete pass. Another pass interference penalty on the Streaks to the Galesburg 45. Back-to-back false start penalties on the Panthers took them back into their own territory at the 45. An incomplete pass. Venegas is sacked for a loss of 7. Then he's sacked for a loss of another 12. So the drive that started from the Panther 25 is now back at the Panther 26.
Oh my gosh. And this is all this has taken place in about 15 to 20 minutes, and it's taken a minute and a half off the clock.
Actually, a minute and 8 seconds.
Wow.
Low snap, skips into the punter, and a nice boot as Tavian Johnson gets it away to the middle of the field. And then Diggins drops it, and it looks like the Panthers have recovered at the Galesburg 47, and they do.
So now they're going to get it, and they're going to throw, and we're going to be here all night.
First fumble of the night for the Silver Streaks from Galesburg's perspective. The only positive out of that is that they're up by 26, and it doesn't look like it'll be a game changer, but it'll be a game extender for sure. So the Panthers recover after the muffed punt at the Galesburg 47.
I was so looking forward to getting the ball back.
So was I.
Have a couple of clean plays, handoff. Clock roll a little bit, get back to some normalcy, and now here we go again.
I was kind of getting my heart set on some ice cream there.
Trayvon.
All right. Time's that Illinois game coming up, Jim? About 11, isn't it?
Yeah,
we'll pick up
quick.
Our pregame coverage. It'll be here soon. We've got another timeout on the field now. 8:59 to play. Well, Knox will have a tough one tomorrow.
Yes, they will.
To say the least. St. Norbert.
Well, they're 0-2. They're not good, right? Wrong. They lost to St. Thomas, rated fourth in the nation.
Uh-huh.
Lost to a much improved Beloit team by a field goal last week.
Player shaken up for the Panthers is Dedrick Bonilla. He's up and walking slowly off the field on his own power, but he looks a little shaky. He looks a little woozy. So the injury timeout, and now we'll bring the Panthers back to the line of scrimmage with the white jerseys, the orange trim down the sides, and striped down along the black pants, too. Nice look for the Panthers. Venegas in the shotgun. In motion, Clay to the near side. And another false start penalty on the silver on the Panthers. There were people moving all over the place.
Yeah, that was a disaster. Well, I just found the Nestle Crunch Bar. I've got up in the press box at halftime in my pocket, so that little energy will get me through this. No
don't leave me,
takes.
Jim. Don't sit there and munch on that and leave me hanging up here on this mess.
Well, it is kind of hard to be quiet with a Nestle Crunch Bar.
All right, for the Panthers, that's the eighth penalty for 40 yards.
I could pull the old, I think the battery in the wireless is going out. Better change it.
You wouldn't do that to your old buddy coming back after 5 years now, would you? That's an awfully cruel thing to do.
Maybe not until week 8.
First and 15. Venegas back to pass. The pocket collapses. He runs with it. Up the far side of the field to home side, and he's into Galesburg territory. Steps out of bounds inside the 30-yard line. Another nice run by the quarterback Venegas, and they move the chains. And he ran with the ball, but wouldn't you know, he stepped out of bounds to stop the clock. But when you're down by 26, as if you're a Galesburg fan, you hate it. But if you're a UT fan, it's exactly what he should do.
And it's
draw this game out as much as they can.
It's their whole offense.
He is.
Yeah.
Tonight, anyway.
I mean, they don't have any running backs that do anything. I mean, they try, but they can't get anything done tonight. And I don't think they'll get a whole lot done the rest of the conference season, honestly, because they pretty tough road to hoe in this conference this year.
He picks up 25, 64 yards rushing for Venegas. Goes to the air down the near side of the field, and the defense got turned around. It goes off one UT player and two Silver Streaks players and falls incomplete in the end zone. Jared Carl got turned around. He turned as he turned to look back for the pass. The pass went over his helmet right into the arms of the intended UT receiver, Tavian Johnson, and then Johnson couldn't handle it. The ball bobbled around for a little bit and then fell incomplete.
It was one of those you worry that might end up falling back in the hands of,
yes,
or on the chest of the UT player that had fallen down, but thank goodness it didn't. Okay, second down and 10.
And still 8:41 to go. Venegas in the shotgun, rolling to the near side, and now sacked
there
in the backfield, back at the 30-yard line, and that'll run some clock now.
I thought sure he was headed for the sideline again, and then for some reason he decided to turn it in and ran into three Silver Streaks, so finally the clock will run a bit.
Back at the 31-yard line, he loses four.
Anybody that decided, well, we'll go get a bite to eat after the game, they've got their stomachs growling right now, I'm sure. Even got Dr. Garnett over here giving me the sign for the clock to wind. Go, go, go.
Well, they're starting to get to a point where, well, it's not quite that late yet. They'll be out of luck. The kitchens aren't going to close quite yet on a Friday night. Under 8 minutes to play in the game. Streaks lead 33-7 in the shotgun. Venegas, better protection. Now here comes the pressure. Sidesteps one man. Ricketts coming in from behind. Venegas scrambling up the far side of the field and got some running room close to the first down marker before he's out of bounds at about the 20.
Well, he is slippery.
He sure is.
He was able to spin away once, bought himself a little more time, and I was afraid when he came over the sideline, he was just going to get crushed, but Streak's defenders were aware of how close they were to the sideline and didn't want to pick up a penalty, especially with their coaching staff standing right over the top of them. So they were kind in ushering him out of bounds.
You can't run away quick enough when the coaches are right there if you make a play like that.
Yep. Yeah, because you're not going to go back out on the field probably. You're going to have to stand next to them and hear about it for a while.
So two down territory as the Panthers do not convert on the third down, but the fourth down coming up, and they take a timeout facing fourth and four from the Galesburg 20. We'll take a timeout as well. 7:46 to play in the game, 33-7 Galesburg. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Western Big Six Conference opener, fourth and four for the UT Panthers, with the Silver Streaks leading third. 33-7. Handoff to Miller, and he is crushed in the backfield. Tyler Ennis again with a loss back at the 25-yard line. And the Panthers do not convert on fourth down, which means the Silver Streaks have still not given up a fourth down conversion through the first three-plus games this season.
Well, that's what's happened most of the time they've handed it off tonight. It hasn't been good, and I'm kind of surprised they went with that. Especially after taking a timeout to talk the whole thing over on fourth and four, you'd think they could come up with something better than that, but I'm glad they didn't because the Streaks had no problem jamming that one up. I thought sure either Venegas would keep it and go wide or they'd throw something and try and get a pass interference penalty. They've gotten a truckload of those tonight. But they go with a straight, well, not even a power handoff.
No.
Kind of gave it to the guy beside him, and he stood there until the Streaks pounded him, so... Our ball, finally. A long time since we've had an offensive play from scrimmage.
Well,
timeout.
By the Silver Streaks.
Yeah.
And not even a lot of time off the clock. A lot of time in real time since the Streaks have had the ball.
I mean, we've seen a lot of football, and I've seen a lot of slow times, but I don't know that I have seen 5 minutes on the clock ever take this long.
The UT, after the Galesburg touchdown, the Jackson 61-yard touchdown run, The Panthers took over at the 10:27 mark of the fourth quarter. That was a series where we had the penalty, the incompletion, the penalty, the penalty, the penalty, the incompletion, and the two sacks, which finally forced a UT punt, which the Streaks fumbled. UT recovered. Then we had a penalty, a run, an incompletion, a run, actually a sack, a run, and then a failed fourth down conversion. So in
after
all that
a timeout.
Time, and a couple of timeouts in there. There was an injury timeout in there as well. So that was from the 10:27 mark to the point in which the Streaks finally take over again at the 7:42 mark. And the play goes up the middle, and we've got some extracurricular activity on the far side of the field as Trayvon Diggins went downfield, and he got taken down.
John Simon over there.
Is that who it is? All right. And then as Diggins tried to get up, the play was at the line of scrimmage, not downfield, 20 yards away where Diggins and Simon were tangled up. So they both went down to the ground together, and then as Diggins got up, Simon reached up and pulled him back down again, and the flag came out, and we've got a personal foul against the Panthers.
And he's ejected.
And he's gone from the game, yep.
I have a feeling when the officials laid down the law a few minutes ago that they were telling the teams in no uncertain terms, next one is gone. Because, you know, that didn't look to be all that heinous a crime committed out there on the field that time, but I think the officials have just had enough and they're not going to take any more.
Yep.
And they're just going to start tossing players, and Simon is the first one to go. So 15 yards and an ejection, and the officials are earning their money tonight.
Well, and the only thing I was really waiting to find out there, because it was pretty clear, even from this far away up here in the press box, what the flag was going to be. But the only thing I really wanted to wait on and be sure of was that maybe Diggins didn't say something, that they were going to whistle for him as well. I mean, we don't know as far away as we are, but Trayvon got up pretty quickly, and he ran out of there in a big hurry when that flag came up. So his body language seemed to indicate that he was completely, or at least he thought he was innocent on the play, and the officials apparently didn't see anything to indicate otherwise. So that's good news for Coach Wes Olson. So Steck back under center after the penalty, moves Scalesburg to its own 44-yard line, and boy, that's a mess at the line of scrimmage as Steck has difficulty even getting the play handed off as there was all kinds of penetration from the Panther defense. Somehow the Streaks gain a yard out of the play as Robert Jackson gets to the 45. Oh, they're actually going to take him to the 46. How in the world did he ever get two out of that?
Well, whatever the case, the clock continues to move. That's a thing of beauty. Again, I guess the other good thing about it is the fact that you were up 33-7.
Yeah.
If you were behind, this would really be a miserable night.
In motion, Diggins in the backfield. He takes the toss, gets some running room to the near side across the 50, and sidesteps a man, tries to stay in bounds, and the officials are going to say he got tackled out of bounds. And now a UT player is down again. This looks to be Ryan Soderman as he rolls over holding his midsection. Trayvon sidestepped the sideline and tried to cut back to the inside, and he did so successfully, but the officials say the tackle took him out of bounds, so the clock stops at the 6:41 mark. Trayvon did the right thing, trying to stay in bounds, but the tackle made out of bounds, and another injury timeout with the ball spotted at the UT 35 after a gain of 19.
Yeah, I could see clear from, this is over on your side of the sidelines, Brad, on the press box, the UT side, but he was up in the air and got drilled, came down hard, and so if it is wind, it'll be a few seconds before he gets that back. I hope that's all it is for the young man, but he really got clobbered over there.
They have his helmet off on the sideline, and he's not moving very much. He's got a leg up in the air. Okay, it looks like they're stretching out his left leg, which would indicate
a cramp,
all right, most likely.
It's no big deal. Doesn't feel very good at the moment. But
no, not at all.
And, you know, as we always talk, once you get one of those, it doesn't just go away. I mean, the pain subsides a little bit once they get it stretched out, but then you're vulnerable to having that reoccur the rest of the night.
Feels awfully tender when it happens afterward. And then you end up almost kind of favoring it, so you don't. And then by favoring it, it's like you trigger it again sometimes.
Well, and I remember trainer Ann Pachniak used to tell us about the whole hydration thing too. She said that's a process that isn't even just on game night. She says sometimes it's building up for the 24 hours before the game, and she said that once you get out there and you have a cramp, it's not like you can just go to the sideline and load up on water and it'll go away.
Yeah.
It's a long process to make that happen once that starts hitting you, and it's too late once you've got the cramp.
Okay. Don't anybody pass the ball the rest of the night to Drew Carlson, because they just tossed a water bottle to him and it went right through his hands and his helmet popped off. Not that the Streaks will be passing the ball the rest of the night anyway.
Well, he is a running back. We don't use him as that very often.
No.
With the current guys we have on varsity, but I would think next year he will be a pretty good bet to be in the starting backfield along with Trayvon Diggins. With Robert Jackson
mm-hmm.
departing.
Yep. So everything's okay on the UT sideline now. Nice hand for Ryan Soderman as he's up and he's got the helmet back on again. Streaks with a first down at the UT 35-yard line. Starters still in there, although a few of them have come out now, because here's the toss and Steck overthrows Aslan Butler on the far side of the field. He reaches for it, and then it's a scramble for it after that. So a big loss for the Silver Streaks, but the good news is they do get it back. And that'll take him all the way back to the 42. So that wasn't pretty, a loss of 7.
No, thank goodness it took a very convenient hop
sure
for
did.
Us there. Big loss, but we retained possession of the ball.
We may hit the midpoint of this fourth quarter yet.
We're not even halfway there.
Nope.
Wow.
We're counting down to the 6-minute mark. We're getting there. Okay, we're past the midpoint of the fourth quarter now. Streaks lead 33-7.
I may develop a cramp.
Hand off up the middle. And this is what we would like to see from the Streaks here now. 5 yards at a time, 4 yards at a time, although we'll need 11 to get the
mm-hmm.
first down here, as we're just short of the first the original line of scrimmage after that run back to the 35. Just chew up some clock. But more importantly here, get the first down and keep moving the chains.
Well, their defense looking a little tired. They've been out there for a while now for a change.
Third down upcoming from the UT 36-yard line. In motion, Chaz Benton. Hand off once, hand off twice. Now they do get it to Diggins, who cuts up the middle of the field. He's got the first down and finally chased down and dragged down inside the 10-yard line.
Love that call. That was a nice play. You fake to going right, and then you counter left. Diggins with a nice hole there, blocking up front. Was excellent. Diggins able to juke a couple of guys on his way down to near scoring position again for Galesburg.
From the 36 down to the UT 7. Trayvon has carried the ball only 6 times tonight. Seems like more, doesn't it?
Sure does.
But he's racked up 85 yards in those 6 carries. From the Panther 8-yard line. Steck under center with the Streaks on the move again, leading by 26. Toss. Trayvon goes up high for a 2-the-goal line. Hit, but he's in for the touchdown. Well, good news, bad news for the fans. Streaks score, but the clock stops.
Now that I'll stop the clock for.
That's pretty hard to turn down, isn't it?
And I don't think there was any concern about hurt feelings in this one. At 33-7, you wanted to keep rolling, and especially the way this game has gone, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of love lost on the part of the players or the coaching staffs at this point.
7-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks.
Benton,
they run
up
for it again, and Benton goes nowhere. So the run fails. The score holds at 39-7 with 4:37 to play in the fourth quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I never read their diaries, ever. But now my girls seem to think they need to know where I am and what I'm doing at all times. I understand. My stroke gave us all quite a scare, and it did present a few physical challenges for me. But I have my life under control. thanks to Handy Van.
If a permanent or temporary disability prohibits you from using the bus or operating a vehicle, you don't have to rely on a friend or a relative. Monday through Saturday, Handy Van is on the go for you.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
4:37 to play in the game at Van Dyke Field. Streaks are that close to going 1-0 in the Western Big Six Conference, leading the United Township Panthers 39-7, a seven-play scoring drive that takes 3 minutes and 5 seconds off the clock and covered 73 yards with Trayvon Diggins going the final eight for the touchdown. And the ball just deadens to a stop as the Panthers let it fall. And then
Tremaine Carson with the tackle.
Yep, the Panthers pick it up and go ahead and return it. Davey Jefferson took a little shot for it. And the Panthers have it at the 29-yard line. All right, it bears repeating, Jim, I think, what the Streaks have done tonight. Their first scoring drive, 75 yards. Their second scoring drive, 71 yards. Their third scoring drive, 71 yards. Their fourth scoring drive, 80 yards. Their fifth scoring drive, 77 yards. And their last scoring drive was the shortest of the night, 73 yards.
Yeah, that's amazing. Usually you see a score like this, you figure you've gotten one or two scores on a short field.
Oh, yeah. And there's an interception. The pass across the middle of the field, and the Streaks pick it off. Aslan Butler on the return, stops short of the 30-yard line. And the Streaks get it back.
Well, Butler just knew exactly where that ball was coming. He played that so well and was ready to head the other way with it. Streaks get the turnover. We've got a UT player down. So the clock stops at 4:23, but now Galesburg with the ball should be able to seal the deal on this game tonight.
There were a lot of black jerseys in that area where Venegas threw the ball. His first interception of the night, and Butler benefits with the interception and the run back of about 15 yards to the Panther 22. But still, as you said, Jim, 4:23 to go in this one.
Well, we've been near a couple of interceptions tonight, and finally we got that one. So Butler seeing some action here. He was on the offense, of course, did a pretty good job to haul in that one kind of wild pitch from Andrew Steck the last series, and then gets the interception there.
Aslan Butler, 6'3", 175-pound junior. So good to see him getting some opportunity to play. And
Aslan, isn't that the name of the lion? And
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
Sure is. And for the Silver Streaks, some other players getting to see some time here. Derek Armstrong saw Cedric Washington in earlier on special teams. He's out on offense now. Here comes Chris Delajonis into the game. And the Streaks will give Andrew Steck the rest of the night off. As the sophomore quarterback Will Anderson comes in to guide the Streaks for the final 4:23 of this game. Armstrong splits wide to the near side with a triple set backfield. Anderson brings his team set. Fakes a handoff, now rolling out on the bootleg. Stumbles a little bit, still with the ball, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage. Cuts up the field and then gets blasted at the 20-yard line. That's a hard 2-yard run. And a late flag comes in again as we have players going and chest bumping again. Okay. I think initiated by the Panthers, but we may have some Silver Streaks who get penalized on this one too. And for the Panthers, they're quickly getting Marcus Murphy off the field.
Emmett Hazlett in on that, actually, for the Silver Streaks. How they ejected anybody. The official over here was saying, okay, who wants another one? He was just looking at him and said, who wants another one? Jake Van Velser actually was the Silver Streak that was really involved in that scrap.
Well, and Jake just got into the game.
Boy, did he.
So you have to wonder, for not being involved in the game, you know, you expect when there's pushing and shoving going on out there and people involved in the game, the Streaks are ready to come to the line of scrimmage, and the official's saying, not yet.
They broke huddle, clap, they were headed to the line of scrimmage, and the officials have not yet begun to penalize.
All right, personal foul, Galesburg. Personal foul, UT. Offsetting penalties. And okay. I didn't see any ejections on this one.
Still got a flag sitting over here that's got to get picked up before we can...
Do you suppose it's because most of the people who have been on the field for this game are no longer on the field, so these are mostly new faces that got involved in that, that maybe they escaped further discipline on that one?
Van Velser isn't escaping. He just got taken out.
Oh, I'm sure he's not escaping the comments on the sideline, and he's got his shoulders shrugging and the arms out and... All right, back to action now with the clock rolling at 3:50 to play in the game. Handoff right side. Cedric Washington found a hole, got tripped up across the 15-yard line to about the 13. Just when it looked like Cedric might break free on that one, somebody got a good low tackle on him and took him down. Yard short of the first down. Boy, oh boy.
Well, and again, there are some games that I feel like you're just going to see guys take a knee and... I don't think so. You may give a knee the way this thing is going. But I don't think if the Silver Streak gets a shot at the end zone, I don't think they're going to worry at all about tacking another score on here.
Less than a yard short of the first down. Third and inches for the Silver Streaks at about the UT 17-yard line. Tremaine Carson in motion and another flag. Stops the clock with 3:01 to play in the game. Motion against the Silver Streaks, I'm guessing. No, offsides on UT, so the Streaks get a first down by penalty. And that'll move the Streaks inside the 10 for a first and goal.
Well, UT still with what looks to be a first-string defense in out there. Certainly the front line is. Silver Streaks offensively, I don't see many starters left.
No.
In fact, I don't see any.
Might be the
You've got Carlson and Carson and Carlson in the backfield now.
And it's Carson in motion. Fake handoff, and Anderson pays for it. Wrapped up from behind and thrown down, so it'll be second and goal. Back outside the 10-yard line. Under 2.5 minutes to play in the game now. How are our relations with Spain lately?
Well, not... Probably not real good the way the Jets treated Inez, the reporter. She was Miss Spain, I think, at one point, read up on. And I don't know that you followed that drama out at all. But
I really didn't. I was vaguely aware of it. But
one of those things that's bound to happen when you have a beautiful woman in a locker room full of football players.
Second and goal from the UT 8.
Oh, what was that?
Pitch into no man's land, and the scramble for the ball at the 10-yard line, and there's still players piling on top for it. Anderson turned and tossed just into the netherworld of the 10-yard line, and boy, how did Gelsberg get that one back?
That was a hot potato, wasn't it? Here, somebody take this. I don't want it.
Well, I think it was... maybe somewhat sort of intended for Tremaine Carson somewhere in that vicinity, sort of.
This has got to be near a record for the longest fourth quarter without a major injury. I mean, you know, we were in Peoria that night, and that the kid broke his ankle, and the kid went into shock that saw it. I mean, but at least we could understand the length of that thing. We had to wait a half an hour for an ambulance, and that was a horrible night.
It may literally be tomorrow before this one is over. Carson on the handoff to the right side, and the Streaks finally under a minute to play with fourth down.
Flag. There's a flag.
Carson got a yard.
We've got one play left here. Well, if we get a change of possession.
Yeah, the Streaks have to run one more play. And
they'll get it and throw three incomplete passes.
Well, and it's fourth down, so the Streaks can't move the chains.
Let's kick the field goal. That'd get them on their seats over there at UT, wouldn't it?
Well, if they score and go for two, we can get a 40-point lead and a continuous clock with 9 seconds to go. Streaks run the play and give it up on downs. Chaz Benton on the carry.
Well, if this is the way the rematch is going to be at the Soul Bowl next year,
I think
you and I are going to get a little broadcaster's flu that night and send Tom Meredith up there maybe.
I think this fourth quarter has taken an hour. I think it has truly taken an hour. 12 minutes of football clock has taken 60 minutes of real clock. And we got a lot of people standing around. Oh, there we go. We needed a ball that came in from the sideline. Okay. Oh, nope. Official says, nope, don't want it. Give it back. We got one out here already.
Oh, UT shotgun formation, of course.
UT from the 8-yard line. 9.8 seconds to go in the game. And they don't hand off. They do pass. It's complete to the far side of the field, and Aslan Butler finishes off the receiver and finishes off the game.
Big finish for Aslan Butler.
Sure
tonight was.
Woo-hoo. Final score, 39-7. Silver Streaks go to 1-0 in the Western Big Six Conference and 3-1 overall. The Panthers have now lost three straight.
Let's
and 17 straight in the conference.
Let's hope there's not a brawl at the midfield handshake. It's not out of the question.
We'll take a timeout because we don't want to talk about it if it happens, right? Post-game show.
I'll start throwing people out till I get to West. Say, we got to go home. You guys keep fighting.
I'm sure Coach Wes Olson will have some interesting comments to say about this. In fact, the Silver Streaks coaching staff is out there walking along with the players, making sure that nothing comes of this. They're watching those guys very closely. 39-7, that's the good news for the Silver Streaks. They win it tonight, and they're 1-0 in the conference. Sophomores win as well, 33-10. Stay tuned for the postgame show coming up from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography, timeless images for you and your family, by Office Specialists, where your office is their business, and by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Hauer on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
The excitement of high school sports really takes me back.
Our team at Bates is proud to support the Silver Streaks for another winning season.
Hey, I think that guy just hit another home run.
Isn't it time for your nap?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL has been brought to you by Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Bates Collision Center on East Main Street in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. By Craddy Insurance, 1197 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. For all your insurance needs. By OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. By Crop Production Services and Dyna Grow Seed. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan. Just off the square in downtown Galesburg. Once a customer, always a friend. By McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by Thorne's Pets and Supplies on North Seminary Street. Building a better bond between you and your pets. Stay tuned for the Silver Streaks football postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIO forecast is brought to you by financial advisor Jack Kroc at Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC. Serving you in the same location for over 18 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg. Member SIPC. For the rest of tonight, cloudy with a low near 59. For your Saturday, cloudy with a chance of showers and a high near 76. Saturday night, cloudy with a chance of showers, low 55. Currently, it is 62 degrees at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Galesburg High School Silver Streaks football.
Still on his feet, and he takes it in for a 20-yard touchdown run. The 30, the 20, the 10, touchdown! Downfield, inside the 10, touchdown!
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the postgame show.
Good start to the Western Big Six Conference season for the Galesburg Silver Streaks on both the sophomore and varsity levels. Sophomores winning 33-10 tonight. They are now 3-0 on the season and have given up just 16 points in their first three games. The varsity, meanwhile, wins it tonight 39-7. And the varsity, not to be outdone, has given up only 26 points in the first four games of the season in a 3-1 start and a dominant win here tonight against a United Township Panther team that's trying to turn things around and had been in the process of doing so after winning the first game of the season and snapping a long losing streak. But the conference losing streak has now reached 17 for the Panthers as the Streaks get a dominant victory here tonight, 39-7. But as Jim Lee has talked about throughout the game here tonight, it will not get easier. That's all there is to it. It's the conference season only gets tougher from this point out, starting with Alleman next week. And the Streaks look to be breaking the post-game huddle, so it looks like we'll get a word with head coach Wes Olson coming up very shortly here, and we'll go ahead and head down to the field right now. Jim Lee is with the head coach as we speak. Jim?
Well, Coach Wes Olson, you got to love what you hear in the background there, your team celebrating this win tonight.
Absolutely. That's exactly, you know, what we wanted to come out of this with this week. And, boy, it was a tough game, a hard-fought game. Got kind of heated there in some parts. But overall, I thought our boys responded really well. I thought they played as a team and they executed tonight. They made very few mistakes, from my recollection. And, you know, we're able to move the ball pretty well and still play some stout defense. And so that's what certainly we're going to have to continue to do next week as Alleman is coming in. I don't know what they did tonight, but pretty sure they probably did well.
You know, every score that we had tonight, Brad was keeping track of this. It's pretty amazing. In a 39-7 game, usually you figure you're going to pick up a short field, a score like that. Every drive we had was 70 yards or more. Pretty impressive stat.
Well, we certainly take pride in trying to run the ball and drain the clock and move the ball down the field methodically. You know, we have guys that have been doing that. They should be able to do it. And certainly they did tonight. Our boys played hard on offense and defense, and you just couldn't ask for a better group and their work ethic.
We threw the ball quite a bit last week, not as much tonight, but when we do throw, it's very efficient. I guess that's, as a coach, you love that. You feel pretty safe when Andrew Steck goes back because he's accurate. Receivers are doing their part, and when he gets a little time, he's dangerous in those situations you need him.
I think that extra work with the passing game in the summer helped us tremendously and gave Andrew some confidence in our receivers as well. And, you know, Jake Miller does a great job with our quarterbacks, and likewise Nate Sibbing does a tremendous job with our receivers, getting those guys ready to go. And it's not a glamorous job in our offense to be a receiver all the time, and those guys take pride in it, and I think that when they get a ball their way, they want to get a hold of it.
You know, the running game, I think Jackson ended up with over 100 yards tonight. He was instrumental in one drive. But for the most part, it was Andrew Steck. And what was really interesting as a fan watches it, you know, it wasn't like he'd just take off right out of the gate. He would just kind of work his way into about 4 and 5 yard deep territory and then kind of pick his way around. It was like he's almost in slow motion, and then he'd find an angle to go on.
Yeah, I've been watching him do that since he was in junior high at Churchill. And it's kind of one of those things where he has to move slow to go fast, and it's fun to watch, that's for sure.
You had, kudos to Ryan Ricketts and Tyler Ennis, especially to help lead that post-game cheer in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan played real solid all night long, having a tough nose on him all night, and we really relied on just being able to run behind him, and Tyler made some real big plays on defense for us at crucial times, so it's always a good honor for those guys to get to do that great cheer.
Maybe one of the longest fourth quarters we've ever seen with penalties and a few injuries and on and on. What did the officials, I'm assuming when they gathered everybody out there, just laid down the law and said the next personal foul, you're gone?
Yeah, they did. I think they did a great job in that regards in handling those situations. And, you know, I think that they did a good job. They were good professionals.
The other thing you mentioned to the team after the ball game, great job, but looking ahead on the schedule, no soft touches from here on out.
That's right. You know, we have a number of teams that are state-ranked ahead of us, and, you know, we got to be ready to play. And you know, God willing, we stay healthy. We'll be all right.
Sounds good, Wes. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jim.
As always, our thanks to Coach Wes Olson for joining us here on the post-game show and our post-game interview of the head coach. Brought to you by Crop Production Services of Galesburg. We'll take a break here on our post-game show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the final statistics and run through some of those numbers for you. As the Streaks win it tonight, 39-7 over the United Township Panthers, this is Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan? Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land.
The mecca of sports equipment apparel.
We love sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms.